Thursday, April 9th.
Good morning, and welcome to the Morro Bay Tourism Business, Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board meeting, a regularly scheduled meeting for Thursday, April 9th. Let the record reflect that we have a full board here of seated board members. All four of us are present. Just a reminder as we call to order to any hoteliers that may be in the audience, either live or at home, we do have advisory board positions open, and the deadline is the 26th of April, for applications. Applications are available at Morro Bay City Hall. They are also available online, or you may get them through the Tourism Bureau, Brent Haugen at brent@morrobay.org, or you can contact me directly at the Pleasant Inn, and I am happy to provide them to you either electronically or physically. I'll drop one off to you. So just wanted to let you know. We're calling to order at 5 minutes after. And at this point, I'd like to open up the public comment period of our meeting. And if you are a member of the audience and would like to step forward during public comment, you may do so now. Seeing no one lurching forward to the microphone, I'll close public comment. And we will move forward with the agenda. On the agenda, topic number three is the Harbor Festival presentation. The Harbor Festival is making a presentation for a request for financial support for their 2015 event this October. And I believe we do have some board members and such present. And maybe Brent can give us a brief overview, and then we can have the Harbor Festival. Anything to comment? Just have them step up. Okay, Harbor Festival, if you're ready to go, come on up to the microphone and let's hit it.
Brent, you have nothing to say?
I always have something to say, but I'm going to let you. Okay. I'm going to let you start off, John.
Okay, thank you. My name is John Solo. I'm one of the board members of the Harbor Festival. Been a board member for 3 years. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit under the weather today. So if you see me twitching, I have a pinched nerve on my neck. So I'm trying to stand up and do that. But thank you for, first of all, I wanted to thank you for those subcommittee members that were on the Harbor Festival distribution of funds from the City General Fund. And we appreciate the monies that the City General Fund allowed us to have. But today I want to just take a couple minutes and kind of maybe educate the audience as to why we're making the change and why we're doing what we're doing. After the 33 years of doing the Harbor Festival from the Rock-O-Rama when it first started to making a small place in front of the Embarcadero, in front of Great America Fish Company, Harbor Hut, Tognazzini's, after the 33rd year, we have decided that this event cannot sustain itself the way it's going. That we need to make a drastic change. And we actually went to the city and asked them if we can close the Embarcadero down for a day. And with their help, we are now in process of making this event starting from Harbor Street on the Embarcadero and all the way to Marina, closing that down, and really make this a completely different event. And I want to just take a minute and read you the mission statement of the Harbor Festival that we adjusted. The primary purpose of the Morro Bay Harbor Festival is to celebrate and promote Morro Bay and its harbor, the local fishermen, fisherwomen, and marina-related industries, and the Harbor Department, the Coast Guard, and the Natural Estuary Program. The aim is to share the health and prosperity of all things harbor-related, past, present, and the future. The event will feature all coastal lifestyles, livelihood, environment, maritime heritage through a family-oriented, intergenerational event that promotes off-season tourism throughout the Central Coast. With that said, we're basically going to be taking the Embarcadero Street down on October 3rd and make this a full free event. After the event, how the event went last year, And to be frank with you, we had issues with the restaurants that wanted to stay open throughout our setup time. We had some conflicts there. We weren't giving business to the Embarcadero. We had some unfortunate things of, you know, people taking money from us. We decided to just go ahead and revamp the whole system. So this event will be on the Embarcadero, free to all, local and tourists. There will not be a charge. And then really focus on fishing and the fishermen in Oromoro Bay. If you can just kind of picture the harbor's Embarcadero, there's, I call them knuckles, they're street ends. Basically, if you come down Morro Bay Harbor, Morro Bay Boulevard, it stops on top of the Centennial Stairs and goes down, and there's like a little opening down there, so that's called a knuckle. That's what I called it. So we're basically going to have different themes of fishermen, where we're going to have actual fishermen be there to serve and sell their fish. So one of the knuckles would be the albacore and the black cod. The next knuckle, we'll call it the oyster and the abalone. And the last one is the sea urchins and rock crab is what we'll be selling, and the fishermen actually there educating the public, educating kids on how they catch these things and so forth. So really make this an event that's going to be for Morro Bay and promoting Morro Bay. One of the other things that we're decided to do is to not bring in any outside vendors to this event. So we are basically there to promote all the businesses in Morro Bay. And the only vendors that will be allowed to be there are the vendors or merchants that have brick and mortar in places other than on the Embarcadero that want to come down and showcase their product or what they're doing. As far as educational for the kids, we have the National Estuary office there on the second floor of Stan Trapp's leasehold area. We're going to have the Harbor Department doing some demonstrations, the Coast Guard doing some demonstrations. So it's basically going to be more of an educational thing and promoting all the things that Morro Bay Harbor has. We kind of looked at all the events and looked at all the what else we can do on this one-day event. The golf course, the Morro Bay Golf Course, was kind enough to, on Friday, we'll do a golf tournament with their help, and we will call it the Morro Bay Harbor Festival Golf Tournament. And on the second day will be our event on Saturday, and that event will go from 12 o'clock till 8 or 9 o'clock. And with entertainment on the Embarcadero all day long, and we're going to try to finish this off with doing fireworks between 8 and 9, depending on how we get our sponsorships. We're also very happy to announce that the surfboard art contest will be featured that day also. And I talked to quite a few merchants on the Embarcadero. As a matter of fact, we had one of the leaseholders on the Embarcadero sent out an email to all his tenants to let them know what we were going to do that day. And they're very excited in doing things for us. One of the things that we contemplated on, because one of the things we did not want to do is compete with any businesses on the Embarcadero or any businesses on in Morro Bay whatsoever. But it was very hard for us to let go of the profit margins that we will get from beer and wine and margaritas. So unfortunately, we will continue to have that as a added amenity for people to be there. We are going to be doing a little bit different marketing of this event. We're trying to gather about $25,000 in trade from KSBY and Valley channels. We have our website, which we set up and basically tied in with Jackrabbit for all the hotels. So if they're on the MBHF.com website, they can go over and check room availability right from our website also. We want the Morro Bay Tourism Board to be the main sponsor of this event. So I'm here to ask the Morro Bay T-Bed to be the main sponsor of this event by by giving us $25,000. And if you look at the handouts that I have included on your in your handouts, one of the things that I wanted to be make sure that we were very transparent is to show you what our budget is. And if you look at the budget, we are expecting about $85,000 in revenues. And at the end, we will end up with the $80,000 in expenses, and we will have $5,000 to carry us forward to the following year. This is going to be a big change for Morro Bay because we're here to promote Morro Bay and Morro Bay and Morro Bay and nothing else but Morro Bay. We are here to do whatever we can do to promote the town, and one of the biggest things is to see what we can do to keep people there to stay over and have this event and actually drive some room nights from it. I know in my own business, actual room nights have dropped off considerably over the years, but I think we're going to try to get this thing back and really not alienate any of the residents in Morro Bay also, because I talked to quite a few residents that did not attend the meetings over the last few years because they felt like when they came down with five people, they'd be paying $75 in entry fees, and from that point on, they would be in there drinking and so forth and be out of there for five people about $200. That's not bad, but then again, this discouraged at least the local residents. And one of the biggest things that we are hoping that we would do over the years when this event was held in a parking lot, all the vendors that made money that we brought in from the outside, there was no contribution to the Harbor Fund. With this, moving this event, and basically having all the merchants of Morro Bay be involved, there will be a residual additional income coming to the Harbor Department through either their 3%, 5%, or 8%, depending on what percentage revenue they're in to pay rent to the Harbor Department. So with that said, I really want to encourage and request that Morro Bay Tourism Board be the main sponsor of this event. And I don't know if I forgot anything, Johnny.
Thank you, John. Very quickly, I'm Johnny Biagini, Vice President of the Board of Morro Bay Harbor Festival. And what I really want to impress upon you is that this is a totally new event. This is like starting day one. If it wasn't called the Morro Bay Harbor Festival, think of it as Morro Bay Fish Festival or Morro Bay Embarcadero Festival, because it is totally new. And we have basically taken the traditional business model of most events that happen here in San Luis Obispo County and thrown it out and said, we're starting new. We are not going to have the traditional admission ticket. We're not going to have the traditional vendors upon vendors upon vendors upon vendors that may or may not have anything to do with Morro Bay and what we're trying to promote. This is totally new, and this is, again, going to be Morro Bay's signature event or continue to be signature event. But with that throwing out of the traditional business model of events goes the traditional ways of generating income. So we have to really rely on that sponsorship money, and starting out new, it's difficult to get that ball rolling. That's why we need your support so significantly this year to help us get it going. It might be the only time that Morro Bay has fireworks this year, but as you know, fireworks are very expensive. So we need to really make a big splash with this event. We're excited about it. The 7-member all-volunteer board, totally excited about it. And the vendor or the businesses along the Embarcadero say, thank you, let's do something different. So we really hope that you'll support us and get behind it with that kind of request that we're asking. Thank you.
Can you two stay for questions?
Sure. Here? Up here?
Yep, stay up there. So full disclosure before we move forward. I'm married to John Solu, and we have had conversations about the Harbor Festival because I volunteer every year for the past jillion years for the Harbor Festival. I have what I would call a pretty good knowledge of how the festival has functioned in the past. Full disclosure, in terms of Taylor and I have walked through the Harbor Festival. This is prior to him being on the board, so there's no Brown Act issues or anything. And we had some pretty, I would say, in-depth conversations about how the Harbor Festival might need to change and those kinds of things. So, and as everyone knows, in the past, Harbor Festival has come forward, and Michelle and I have sat up here and had some pretty good conversations back and forth on the dais about the Harbor Festival. So I just, and Johnny Biagini and I are friends. I just want everybody to know what the relationships are here. Having said that, I have no conflict of interest because obviously we have no monetary gain in this thing. As a matter of fact, it actually takes away from my family in terms of time. But that's okay. We'll get through it. So I just wanted full disclosure up there in terms of what my role is. I have no role in the Harbor Festival other than everyone in town knows each other, right? So if anybody wants to disclose anything, conversations that you've had, this would be the time, and then we can move forward with our conversation back and forth publicly.
Okay, so I'm Taylor Newton, and I run the Gorilla Gardening Club. So besides what Joan spoke upon, I also, in the past, our nonprofit works waste management and recycling for the Harbor Festival. We aren't planning on doing it this year, so I don't have a monetary connection. So I have no conflict of interest. But I do have questions, so when it's my turn to do that, I'm ready.
The only thing I'll disclose is I sat on the event subcommittee for the city funds of the $40,000. So obviously I had a lot of discussion with that dollars, but I think this is separate coming from TBID. So I just, since we're all in disclosure mode, I will disclose that I sat on that for the city for the TBID's role. So just heads up. And I have some questions too, but we'll go around the room.
Okay, great. So I think we're good. Everyone good? All right. Everyone's good there. We've all got the information out there. So in terms of questions, I have a few questions, but I'm going to wait till last because you guys might ask them anyhow. So I want to start with Jack, and we'll just go down the list.
John, I was wondering what other sponsors you currently have and what they've contributed.
Currently, we have an application in with Chevron for $10,000. We have an application with PG&E for $10,000. They were prior sponsors of ours. We have received sponsorship money from Heritage Oaks already for $500. We got Rabobank returning with sponsorship. I don't know how much they're going to give, but they usually give about $1,500 in sponsorship. We had one more. One more so far that we received monies for $500, and the name escapes me right now. But we have a lot of feelers out to a lot of people. We have a lot of people that are saying they're going to give us money, but I don't really want to say it's $5 or $10 till I know for sure because numbers change. So that's, we're probably going to have about 15 to 20 sponsors at the end of this. Right. And also the City of Morro Bay sponsorship for okay. $5,000.
Thank you.
And we have one request from the Harbor Department also.
I have a couple of questions. Well, first, I wanted to commend you because for me, being fairly young, the Rock, the Bay, the Harbor Festival, and Taco Temple were the things that brought me out to Morro Bay when I was in college. And Harbor Festival was the first thing. So imagining Morro Bay without the Harbor Festival was really hard for me. And so you got me hooked. Three questions. You said that the vendors wouldn't be outside vendors, but is that going to constrain you for sponsorship? I mean, when you're saying vendors, so if you got a large sponsor, let's say from Los Osos or from San Luis Obispo, who wanted to display items for advertisement at the event, would that be not allowed? Or just clarify that for me.
They will not be allowed other than nonprofits.
Okay, my second question is when you're talking about only Morro Bay brick and mortar businesses being able to be vendors, and then you were talking about the harbor money, that percentage, are you saying that only brick and mortar down on the harbor or only brick and mortar in Morro Bay? Because the ones in Morro Bay wouldn't be paying into the harbor department, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. But in prior years, other than maybe Great America Fish Company, Harbor Hut, and Tognazzini's that are potentially on a percentage or not, I don't know if they are, the rest of the revenues we generated out of there, which was probably $200,000+, was not tagged to be funding the harbor department at all. Now all of those are left to the merchants, coming from the merchants. Yes, there's going to be a pretty good residual income for that weekend because nobody goes down to that side on that weekend. And okay, basically all the money is made up in the parking lot, with no percentages going to the harbor department.
Okay, so I understand. So the vendors will be open to all of Morro Bay, brick-and-mortar vendors.
Open, but the brick-and-mortar that's coming from uptown will not be subject to the harbor fund.
Got it.
Just the people that are on the west side of Embarcadero.
Got it. My third question is, when you're talking about space, I really love your idea of the knuckles. You had a sea urchin, rock crab, albacore, black cod, oyster, and what was the other one with the oyster?
Urchin, did you add that?
Sea urchin and rock crab was one knuckle.
Right. Oyster and abalone.
Oyster and abalone. Mm-hmm. I love the marketing capabilities of that. I think it's genius. What are the streets you're going to be going from? I'm looking at your map here. If I'm coming down Morro Bay Boulevard at Centennial Park, can you give me the borders? Is it Harbor Street to Pacific Street?
Harbor to Marina.
Harbor to Marina.
Which is the turnoff in front of the aquarium. And we have to leave that open for boat launches.
So that's 1, 2, 3, about 4 blocks. Okay. Thank you. That was all my questions.
Me to go?
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. So I have a couple. Are you guys still doing the music festival in June?
No.
Okay. Did that go away completely?
This year, yes.
Okay. Just bummer. I know that's really popular. And just throw that out there. I will back in with what Taylor says. I love the idea of opening back on the waterfront. I feel like when I was out here like 20 years ago, they used to have it down on the water. And I could be wrong, but I feel like I remember coming out and it was along the water. But maybe that was just the bus ride. I don't know. Maybe one too many beers that day. But so if we were to sponsor, because there used to be buses. They used to have buses that would take you from Los Osos out here. And so you could drink and you didn't have to drive. So if we were to sponsor the $25,000, which, as you know, is a huge request out of here, because, one, I'd have to ask Brent if we have the money, what exactly is the Bureau going to get out of it? Obviously, we get our name on there, but, I mean, are we the major sponsor? I mean, what do we get for that $25,000 on a marketing standpoint?
That's a great question. And, first of all, yes, it is the, again, Morro Bay, T-Bid, Harbor Festival. Fireworks definitely would be, we would be able to do the fireworks at that point. And so Morro Bay lights up Morro Bay, or some sort of catchy phrase that, you know, is too early in the morning for me to do that right now. But and there are some VIP things that, of course, the board would be able to be part of, and the viewing of the fireworks in a special VIP area. But it would secure our ability to go forward and then be able to get more funding so that we can put a really first-class event. All the signage, of course, would say Morro Bay Tourism, on, you know, with their logos, website, all of those things that you obviously would expect to have. We're going to have signage on what John calls the knuckles to show, you know, shrimp this way, or, you know, oysters this way, and those signs could say, you know, brought to you by the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. All of our KSBY advertising and promotion that we do with them would obviously say the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau.
Brent, I would have a question for you. I know in our meeting we set aside $40,000 for events. I would assume we would, as a bureau, that's where this money would come out of?
That is correct.
Okay. I want to make sure we have the funds before we commit to
correct.
Something.
And that would be up to the board's discretion.
Okay. I think that's all my questions. I love the idea of it being free, and I love the firework. How much, and the fireworks I think was what, 10,000?
For 10 minutes.
For 10 minutes.
Okay. To me as a hotelier, I won't lie, I was really disappointed when I heard it was going to the one day, because that you get a lot of people from the valley coming over and then heading out for the day. And so for me, I would have to have the fireworks show be part of this, because that's what's going to generate the overnight stays. Exactly. That's what's going to get people to stay overnight.
Yep.
So I'm really big on, and I want to see this event revamped, and I haven't been into it in years. I used to go to it every year, kind of like you. I loved this event, and then I'm not volunteering this year, but good track, Joan. But I do love how it, and I have said a million times we need more events down on that water. People come for that. I wish we could shut that Embarcadero down, but that's a whole other side discussion, and make it a walking path. I mean, it needs to be more tourist friendly. And right now you just have cars, and it's like a rat race with big Cisco trucks. And that's a whole side thing, though. Sorry, I get tangent on that one. But so I don't know where this board's at, but I'm at minimum definitely 10, and would talk about being a major sponsor.
I had a – oh, you have a question? I have a comment on her. Go ahead.
So I have a few questions, and these are questions that we haven't discussed in terms of funding. So, you know, this is TBID hotelier funds. This is – hotel funds, we have to benefit all the hotels. I agree with Michelle that fireworks are going to help drive the overnight stays, and making sure that whatever the catchy slogan is, I don't know, you know, Brent's, our catchy slogan is the Morro Bay Way, so maybe we can do, you know, fireworks sell whatever, you all work that out. You get catchy together. I'm wondering, your partners in terms of restaurant and retail down there, and I'm sure that you've talked to all those folks or whatever, you know, gone door to door to let them know that this is a change that might be occurring, or not, whatever, via email. Your partners, are you working directly with any of them that might share some general financial information in terms of 2014 impact, the weekend of Harbor Festival, which was a two-day event, Friday, Saturday? And then after this event in 2015, they would go back and work with you on figures for just the day of Saturday, so that we could do a for ourselves in terms of growth and where this thing could go. And, of course, understanding Johnny's point of this is a totally new event. If this were the Fish Festival, or if this were the Morro Bay Oyster Festival, or whatever you said, the Morro Bay Celebrate.
Embarcadero Festival.
Embarcadero Festival, that's what you said. The Morro Bay Embarcadero Festival, would we be behind it as a group if it were something new like that? We would be saying back to you, what's the growth going to be in terms of impact for not only the city, but growth in terms of impact for the hotel. So I guess I'm trying to figure out what the measurement guideline is for this. And I know you have probably no idea, but what your goal is in terms of growth down there, and if you have anybody that you're working with, that whether you're going to do survey or how you're going to do it, I'm curious about that. That's all.
We have not set up yet any kind of surveying of this event, though that might be a good idea because it's totally new. But what I mean, if we look at this as ground zero. And knowing that, and we have talked with many of the merchants along the Embarcadero, basically they have told us there has been no business that weekend on the Embarcadero merchants.
That end.
From that end.
Uh-huh.
It's all focused on the north end.
Okay.
of. So if we start from that point, the fact that on the west side of the Embarcadero, those merchants then pay into the Harbor Fund,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be a very succinct way of showing how much growth there is on this day, and very trackable. What we're trying to do is extend that weekend. So that's why we have the golf tournament going on Friday,
mm-hmm. Which is a new thing. It's a new group to bring in.
Totally new group. People love golf tournaments. Mm-hmm. And as you know, the weather in October can be absolutely fabulous. It's just that the Harbor Festival Board isn't putting on that event. It's part of us,
right?
But we're not putting it on, so it doesn't overwhelm us. Same thing could happen on Sunday, looking at events that could be tied into that will make it a three-day event. It's just not that the Harbor Board of Directors, Harbor Festival Board of Directors, has to be responsible mm-hmm. for putting those things on. So we want to extend that. Mm-hmm. We'll be looking at, obviously, occupancy during that whole weekend, again, as we always do, and talking with the hoteliers. But I think the real growth is going to be in the merchants, because keeping in mind in the past, we have been getting anywhere from 12,000 to 15,000 visitors to the Harbor Festival over that two-day weekend. If we have free admission and get that many or more, which we're hoping is more, all of that revenue will then be going to the businesses in Morro Bay along the Embarcadero.
What were ticket prices last year?
$12.
Adult 12?
Adult 12, 5 for 12 and under? 12 and under was $5.
So for a family of 5, they'd be, okay.
It's, you know, significant.
Well, I mean, that's money they can put back into a restaurant or a hotel room.
And, you know, families have been a decreasing part of our admission, you know, coming to the Harbor Festival. It's been more couples and adults, you know, coming for that don't have to shell out, you know, 5, 6, 7 tickets.
Okay, and can you talk to me about paid staff? I heard you say several times 7-member volunteer.
7-member volunteer.
And such.
We no longer have paid staff. They are advisory members of our board, and we've had to cut and cut and cut as all events have, but we think it's so important to keep the Harbor Festival going after 33 years and keeping people like Taylor and Michelle moving to Morro Bay because of it, and or certainly visiting because of the Harbor Festival. So we've done everything we can to cut costs as much as possible.
Tell me about parking and traffic.
There won't be any because they're all walking.
Okay.
<I'm just kidding.
laughs> Okay.
The same setups that we've been employing in the past, using city trolleys, using parking lots that are available. But of course, we'll now have the north end totally open.
I want to understand, because I was on the parking crosswalk for about 3 hours last year on crossing the Embarcadero, or whatever it is, Front Street right mm-hmm. there. There's not going to be a big Albertsons truck right there.
That's right.
And the vendors aren't coming in, so you're not going to have trucks and trailers parked in the
That's
new
right.
triangle parking lot. That dirt parking lot would be open to public parking. Is that what you're saying?
Everything's so open to public.
So it's creating more parking spaces
right.
by not having the... Okay. I just want to understand that... I want to understand where people are going to park. If we're closing the Embarcadero, that reduces, you know,
right.
several parking spots. So in terms of traffic down there. Okay.
Can I make a couple comments?
Yep. And then we'll
Yeah,
go
let
back
me
to
make
discussion.
A couple question comments that you was made. We have a board member that's on our board that owns a restaurant on the Embarcadero. He basically said to me, on an average Saturday, he gets between $12,000 to $15,000, except during the Harbor Festival weekend. On that weekend, on a Saturday, his gross revenue is about $3,000. That is one person I'm talking about, one restaurant I'm talking about, what that would make the impact. And Michelle, you're absolutely right. My goal was to start this off year one and warm up to a two-day event again, and closing the Embarcadero down for 2 days. But we have to prove ourselves. And that's the roadblock we're running against when we go out and try to get sponsorships. Well, you're new. We gave it to them 8 years ago, and they promised all this stuff to us, and they didn't deliver. So we want to see how you're going to do this year. And that's the challenge that we're running across in regards to getting sponsorships this year. I'm hoping that we prove ourselves where we don't even have to solicit and they call us and give us money. That's our goal. One last little remark that I wanted to make on the financials, because I did give you our budget. There is a line item in there for $2,500 for payroll, and that is in case we need it come crunch time the last month of the before the event happens. I just wanted to put that and set that aside for that purpose, and that's why that's there. Okay?
I have a couple of questions. Oh, sorry. We'll start board first. So I did want to say too, I commend you guys for doing a new footprint. I think what you guys have as a concept is a really great concept, and I've heard some great feedback from not just the businesses, but from organizations that are very happy about what you guys are doing. Just had a meeting recently with the Central Coast Women for Fisheries, and they're super excited about the new change. I think that, you know, there's a lot of people who are looking at the Harbor Festival a lot differently this year. My question would be is that, you know, obviously our goals and objectives for the Bureau is to increase business during midweek and low season. Harbor Festival does happen during low season. What do you guys project as far as, like, being in overnight rooms this first year? I know that with the new footprint, it's hard to gauge that, but what are you guys estimating as far as rooms?
I hate to give you, I can give you a number from the air. It really would depend on what the golf tournament brings. The gentleman that's running the, Jason who's running the golf, Joel who's running that golf course now, he's going to email out 12 to 15,000 players to come and play. Now, probably 80% of them from within the county, but the rest of them is outside the county. So there's going to be some residual room nights, hopefully, for that, number one. And number two, we're trying to push the event as late as possible at night so people won't drive home. Like entertainment, we're going to run them till 8 o'clock, and that's why we want to tag it with the fireworks at the end so they can't drive home at 9 o'clock. So, I hate to give you a number without really knowing about it, but one sector we're going to lose is the outside vendors that were coming in. Because we're not going to have any outside vendors with their trailers parked at the motel and go and do their business. So that's one area we're going to lose. If you want me to give you a number, I'll say 400. I don't know.
Yeah, so. No, I don't want you. I definitely don't want you to guess. I guess one of the concerns that I have is Johnny, the comment that you made that the businesses that will benefit will be the restaurant retail and not so much the hoteliers. And with having a $25,000 investment, and this is an investment, and we have to look at this as being an investment, because what is the Harbor Festival going to look like next year? It's part of it, yes, it is about this year, but, you know, part of my responsibility for the hoteliers is that when you're looking at $25,000, how is that going to benefit the lodging community here in Morro Bay? Because essentially this board has to answer
Absolutely.
To the lodging community, and we would hate, because all of the things that you guys talked about as far as, like, the marketing is actually local marketing. It's not really outside of...
Valley. Valley's still our number one feeder for this event. and of course, all our social media is more than just local, of course. But when I say I think the growth of this event is going to happen in the retail, I'm assuming that our lodging will be just as full as it always has been, with people coming to see the event. So I look at the growth of this event in retail. I know that weekend in October is tried and true Morro Bay Harbor Festival weekend, and people will be coming because of it to stay overnight.
Okay. Those were just some of my questions, and, you know, and I firmly do believe, and, you know, obviously this is my own personal opinion, I do believe that, you know, the Bureau should be supportive of the Harbor Festival at what dollar amount. That's really going to be up to the board, but I would actually strongly encourage the board to look at a dollar amount to definitely help, because they are starting from ground zero. It isn't really so much... It is about this year, but it's really about what is the potential growth of this event in the future. You know, I see some really great potential on bringing groups in the future. You know, youth groups we can definitely look at. We can look at other tour groups. It's going to take a little bit of time for that to happen. There are some tour companies from the Valley that will probably bring in individuals because it's going to be a free event for this year. So that will actually help impact, but it's not going to impact so much the overnight business. That's something that I think that could be a potential partnership in between the Harbor Festival and the Bureau to look at what are those opportunities to bring groups in the future.
Thank you. And are there any more questions actually for these two before we go into comment phase? If nobody else has one, I do have one question for you guys. You were saying $10,000 for fireworks. I think Johnny said it, $10,000 for 10 minutes, or John and Johnny. Mm-hmm. The other $15,000 in terms of coverage over your budget, where do you see that making the most impact? Is it just basic startup, or are you looking to put that towards marketing? What's your goal with the additional $15,000 that you've requested?
Well, just like the comment I made at the beginning, marketing, any marketing we're going to do like we did last year, is to go out and do trade as much as possible. We are paying an agency with artwork and everything about $6,500 for this year. That's hard cash that's going out. Really, the rest of the money is going to bands. We're trying to bring in quality entertainment into here. We talked about so many different scenarios this last board meeting. That's where I see this thing is basically, to answer your question, I guess, to the startup. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't just have people come because we have wonderful fresh fish that we're selling on the Knuckles. We've got to have entertainment, and the entertainment is what's really going to draw these people.
Okay.
And if we ever go over the 60,000 mark, there is one last thing that I don't want to promise anything, but the Lady Washington can come down. They want $5,000 per day. It's our boat. We do anything we want with it. That's available for us to be able to do, but it's not in the budget right now. So if something comes in over and beyond what we budgeted for, we're going to try to bring in more entertainment into the harbor, into the Embarcadero.
Hey, John, I didn't get a chance to ask you. Do you know how many that the Lady of Washington, how many people that actually accommodates? I don't recall off of the top of my head, and I just was actually on their website the other day, and I know that they do a series of different educational programs, but I don't recall what the total amount.
Well, and one of the options, I think, unfortunately we don't know that answer, but one of the options was have the Lady Washington go out and do some sailing, which at that point you could charge and recoup some of the funds if that were something that was appealing to you. But Morro Bay Tourism sponsors Lady Washington.
Okay, I think if there are no more questions, who knows if there's going to be any, so hang on. But we'll go to discussion so we can move forward. Okay. Once again, I know you've been waiting. So Taylor, I'll start with Taylor, and then we'll go to Jack, and then.
Okay. So, excuse me. Starting off with promises, I like John's words. Promises. The triathlon and the golf tournament thing, especially since it's not you as the lead. I love those because our thesis for me being on this board is overnight stays, like Brent talks about. So if the triathlon and the golf tournament were guaranteed, that would lead me more to believe that there would be overnight stays. Right now, it doesn't sound like, I don't know if those promises are real or not. So I'm just going to set that aside. But if those were real, it would be more of an argument for overnight stays. So that being said, number two, I think that $10,000 from us for fireworks is a good way to invest in lodging, okay? So then that brings me to number three. Basically, $6,000 on your budget is what you expect to have left over. $5,700, I think, was the net revenue. And for me, $6,000 would be the investment in the future of this event, which hopefully would be lodging in the future. So for right now, I'm at $16K for what I want to give you. And then I'm looking down here at this the data survey and future development. I know that Jasmine and Brent, from my point of view, have been amazing employees, people that we pay to do stuff. And I feel like there's value in their skills, and some of the stuff you're talking about seems like stuff that they do already, if not faster. So maybe there's some kind of value in their services. Like, if there's data survey to be made, instead of you spending money on somebody else to do it, which would be our money that we give you, maybe them doing it would be a dollar value. So again, I'm at $16K.
Jack?
Just a couple things. As far as having people stay over that Saturday night, I presently have a major skateboard race competition scheduled for October 10th and 11th. I might be able to change that to October 4th and bring in... most of the people that come to our races aren't kids. They're adults, and they bring their kids. And it'd be kind of a neat weekend for them to be here participating in the Harbor Festival and the next day participating in our race. So I'll look into that. The one, just kind of a comment, I heard that the family participation or admissions have been down or trending downwards at the Harbor Festival. And I know that the beer and wine thing makes a ton of money, but I'm wondering if part of the reason it trends downward is because of the emphasis in the past on the beer and wine. I mean, I jokingly referred to for a number of years as the Morro Bay Harbor Festival as the Morro Bay Beer and Wine Festival. So I'm just wondering if, I know we have to have it, but is there a way to de-emphasize it, make it look not as important as to being a part of the event. Other than that, I'm not sure on the dollar amount. I'm going to listen to what everybody else says and go from there. Thank you.
Okay. Couple things. Since you guys are here, I'm going to comment. Sandcastle, I love that. Don't get rid of that. That's why people come forever. I know my job here is always a role of hoteliers, but don't forget, we're celebrating the harbor, and I always have said if you get the locals, you get everything else along with it. People come here to celebrate our way of life. That's what they want. So on the bands, and this is why I bring this up, is I didn't see a lot in the past. You've had Karen's dance thing down there, and you've had all of those local entertainments for the kids. I would try to not get away from that. I just didn't see it in the program. Maybe it's in there, but it's not in there. I remember, too, there was a comment made by somebody about Battle of the Bands, getting your locals. I think that's an awesome idea. Again, it's bringing those locals in because they always bring their families and they bring people along with them. So I'll comment on that. Also, I think the impact of not having the Harbor Festival this year would be huge. I know at my hotel, I think of two guests in my mind right now that come every single year for the Harbor Festival from out of town. And if they come one year and it's not here, the impact of that, I think, is huge. So we do get a lot of out-of-towners that expect the Harbor Festival to be here. They've already booked. They book every year, and they're here. And I know there's more than just two. I can just picture those in my face right now. I will back up, too, I agree with Jack. The beer and wine you need to have. It has to be there. People want to drink. It's too bad. That's just our society. But don't get away from those kids things, because I think the reason, and I'm in Kidville, so I hear it all the time, people aren't coming because exactly what John said earlier. They spend $12 per head. They turn around and spend money on their kids, and then they've got to buy their kids food and snacks and cotton candy and kids' coves and all of this. And before you know it, a family of four has spent $100 to $150. That really is a lot of money for something that should be celebrating the harbor. And really getting back to that education, which is why I'm a huge fan of Lady Washington, and I know it's not in the budget, but I think Lady Washington would put the event. It would just, to have Harbor Fest with the Lady Washington in the background, I think just is kind of the slam dunk. And of course,
fireworks for me. So money-wise, because I know that's our job, is to figure out money. I'm right with you, Taylor, around that 16, but I also would like to see Lady Washington, so I would go 21 because it's $5,000 to bring in Lady Washington. But I know that's not in the budget. So if I said, if we give 21, I don't know if there's any way of getting Lady Washington in there with that 21. So, and it's a huge amount of money that the Bureau is investing, but I think I love the revamp. I love that Embarcadero being shut down. I mean, I just love that you guys are thinking outside the box. I've always, two things I didn't, I've been one to say I'm not funding Harborfest, is that the money went to nonprofits and it drove me crazy. I could just write a check to a nonprofit as a board. That was our conversation before when we sat in the event. And so I love that it's a free event too. Morro Bay is a family-oriented place, and I think to push that free event, I think people are going to be wowed. And I think it's going to be great to get people down on that merchant, because that's another complaint. You hear the restaurants and retailers complain that nobody walked in their shop because they're all down there buying trinkets. So I think to bring it down to the heart of Morro Bay, I think is just phenomenal. So I'm a huge, huge supporter on it. So wherever you guys want to go, you let me know, board. Joan.
I feel like I could just open my mouth and Michelle could talk for me. because she's saying a lot of what I'm thinking. I meant that in a good way. I have a couple of things that I'd like to say. In terms of beer and wine, I think that setting the focus up on the thumbnails the way it was told is going to create an atmosphere where the beer and wine is it accompanies the fish and seafood in our harbor. Whereas in the past, the beer and wine were the reason people were directed, I think, into certain areas, a focus of the festival. The beer and wine pavilion, that was kind of like a focus of the festival. I think now, actually, we're getting back to the root of the festival with their idea here of focusing on the seafood. I'd like to make a comment about Harbor Festival and Savor. And this is just from my 5 years of experience on this board. Prior to Brent coming along and being the director of tourism, I think Michelle and I fielded, I'd say two boxing gloves full of questions regarding a couple of right hooks regarding Harbor Festival versus Savor funding. Both in our local community and from folks out in our county. And some of the questions are, how could you support Savor at $28,000 and not support Harbor Festival, an event in our community, at the same level? There were two reasons why the board decided to do that, one of which was Harbor Festival was not a heavy marketing campaign, and at the time we were really trying to drive the market of Morro Bay outside of the county, and Savor was doing that in terms of a year-round marketing campaign. And Morro Rock was at that time we had this, it was a hero shot that was huge. It was the banner hero. So it made a difference for us. Having said that, though, I agree with the hole in the heart of Morro Bay if the Harbor Festival disappears. I've been here for 18 years. I've greeted guests every year at the front desk who come over for Harbor Festival, at the Villager Motel when we had it, at the Days Inn when we had it, at the Bungalow when we owned it, and at the Pleasant Inn. And I can tell you, folks come here for the Harbor Festival, regardless of whether it's a vendor or somebody who wants to come for the Harbor Festival. They come and they give you their feedback every year. And I agree with what Jack was saying in terms of more and more often. It's gotten away from being a celebration of Morro Bay, and it's more about the beer and wine and two bands. There's bands surrounding that, but, you know, two bands. So, and I have to say, in terms of the ticket price, free, I'm going to be honest with you folks. There's nothing anybody in San Luis Obispo County loves more than the word free. I'm talking about the locals. We love something for free that our community and other folks in our community do for us, and we come out for it to support it. And in turn, you know, people open up their pocketbooks. They hear the word free, but they bring their purse or their wallet, right, for their kids and everything else. I agree with Michelle about, you know, making sure that there's kids things to do down there. In terms of, you can give me a head shake. Are there plans for a sandcastle still? I'm sorry, it's not in the budget. The sandcastle is, can you tell us how much the sandcastle costs?
Last year it cost us $3,000. Including rooms that we have to provide them.
How about the sand?
The sand is $300.
The sand is $300.
From the city.
The city brings the sand.
City brings the sand in for $300 in and out. And the sandcastle people get $2,500, and the other $200 goes towards rooms that they require because they are coming from the Napa area to do the sandcastle.
Okay. So the sandcastle is $3,000.
Do we have any local, so they're out-of-town sandcastle builders?
I never looked. You know, it's been the same people for 10-plus years, but
right.
that could be something that we can look at.
It's just a really fun event, and what's great is it's a great marketing. I don't know if you see, but a lot of the pictures get taken from the sandcastle sculptures.
Yeah,
and it's just huge. I just hear a lot about it, so...
I also just wanted to add that we will be having the oyster eating contest and the Hawaiian shirt contest, which are staples of the Harbor Festival.
Okay. I'm hearing sandcastle comments in both my ears up here.
Can I answer one more question that Brent had? 45 people, if the boat is docked, if they go out sailing, 35 people, it takes about half hour to 45 minutes to circulate the people in and out. So do you wanted to know how many people the Lady Washington wanted?
Okay. So Lady Washington is... But Lady Washington would be $5,000 above and beyond what you're requesting now. Sandcastle would be $3,000 above and beyond what you're requesting now. I want to be clear. What you're requesting now is $10,000 for fireworks, $15,000 for bones, meaning a spine for the event, so that everything else can come off of it. Is that correct? That's correct. Okay, so that's what we need to be discussing here in terms of laying out and telling them what to, or to me, it, you know, I think $10,000, you know, they're requesting the $10,000 for fireworks. They're requesting, basically, it's two kinds of requests, $15,000 for bones to set the thing up, and then $10,000 for fireworks. That's what I'm hearing. Go ahead, Jack.
Regarding the Lady Washington, I love the tall ships when they come to town. But I would, there's a new boat, a new tall ship that's just being finished right now, and it's called the San Salvador. It was the boat that Cabrillo was sailing when he supposedly first saw more rock. And I know the Maritime Museum has been talking to them about bringing that to Morro Bay either in October or in the springtime. So maybe reach out to the Maritime Museum, to Larry Newland and his group, and maybe we can work together on that. Because it would be a neat tie-in to have Cabrillo's boat rather than the Lady Washington. Thanks.
Taylor has a comment.
One of the things that... in working in the Harbor Festival with the Harbor Festival in the past, is there's always so many great ideas, and you're limited on staff to develop those ideas and make them happen. So bring me back to that word, promises. You know, my fear for the Harbor Festival every year is too many promises. So I really want to make sure that the promises that we promise are accomplished. And so as we sit up here and we discuss more and more options that aren't in the budget that's been presented, it makes me want to retract. So I'm still at 16K. I just wanted to say that, you know, Lady Washington, the sandcastle, San Salvador, a skate event, the golf tournament, the triathlon, all these things are great, but I still are they going to happen when you're, you know, you're asking for $25K and that doesn't cover any of those?
Taylor, just to make a correction, the marathon is not actually happening. It's actually the Surfboard Art Festival that actually happens that same weekend.
So they're I'm sorry, I need to understand that. They're moving the Surfboard Art Festival for that weekend, just that weekend, or they're making it a month
they're,
long?
They're starting it on that weekend. And John, I don't know if you want to comment on that. I believe that they're going to be launching on the 3rd of October, correct?
That's right. It's a month-long project, depending on which businesses buy the surfboard. They're going to be displayed there, but the launch date is the 3rd of October. One last comment that I want to make. You have a budget that we provided you. In order for us to do everything that's on that budget, we have to hit that 60,000 mark. So let's say we ended up with 50,000. So the thing is, do we do no bands or do we do fireworks? Do we put in two less toilets in to come up with the money? I mean, when you think about it, that 60,000, our $60,000 hit number, will provide the fireworks. But if we end up with less, and you say 10,000 is only for fireworks, and let's say we end up collecting 40,000 in sponsorship, then we're only going to do the fireworks because we promised you to do the fireworks. There's not going to be any bands, you know, anything. So we're trying to reach that minimum number there. So I hate to have you guys tag that money towards that. Then us not deliver. That's my worry.
Before you go away, John, I just had a thought in terms of, or you can have Johnny come up. I just had a thought that in terms of funding, I hear what you're saying, and I hear what Taylor is saying, and you know, I am concerned. I think in the past, and Michelle would probably agree with me, this board has had, I'll call it a history of saying, well, you're bringing us a request for this, and we tack on that and that and the next thing and the next thing. I think some of the ideas about, you know, getting a survey and that kind of stuff done with Brent's help might be totally doable. In terms of adding cost measures like the sandcastle and the Lady Washington, that's obviously going to depend on where the money, where your sponsorship level comes in. So that gets me to sponsorship. If we bite the bullet and go for it, I hear you loud and clear about, okay, if we don't hit 60, if we hit 40, maybe the fireworks have to disappear. Is there a way that we can work in tandem with you? I know you don't have a staff, but with our staff, where Harbor Festival Board can report back you meet once a week, once a month, leading up to the event, whatever. Report back to our staff so that we can hear from Brent where you're at in terms of your sponsorship level month on month, where it's growing, and what your plans are in terms of, we're going to fulfill this goal, we've met this goal, we're going to fulfill this now, we've met that goal, we're going to fulfill this, just so we know how it's going in terms of sponsorship support for you, so that it's clear to us in the end where our money that we put forward has gone. Does that make sense? So
you want us to meet?
It can be a one sentence thing.
You're going to be the major sponsor. We'll do anything for you. We'll meet with Brent every day. I don't think he wants.
I love you, John.
I love you too.
But it might be too much love.
Yeah, okay. we don't have a problem putting out a progress report as to where we are. Yeah.
It can be a two-line email after your guys' thing. Hey, you know, our person in charge of sponsorship, Johnny, has reported back to us. We gained three more sponsors. We've hit $45,000 now. Mm-hmm. Okay. 2 months before. And that way we understand, okay, still the fireworks might not happen, or still we're not surprised in the end. Oh, you know, none of us go down to the event, which I don't think will be true, but, you know, we hear later, oh, you guys were told they'd have fireworks and they didn't do it. I mean, that's the kind of thing that I really want to avoid.
Might I make a suggestion to the board? Because this is a tough decision. And, you know, obviously it sounds like you guys want to definitely support. And, you know, we definitely want to show our support to the Harbor Festival. Might I suggest that we do a task force, create a task force that of some of the board to meet with the Harbor Festival to figure out what that sponsorship and then report back to the board next month?
I think there's four of us here. We kind of are a task force right now. We're a tourism task. I love the idea, but I'd like to get us through a decision.
Yes.
So I'm going to throw a number out there because that's what I do. I'm just going to throw a number and see if it sticks, and then we can swing off that number either direction. I know they're asking for 25. Before I throw my number out there, that $40,000, have we committed any of it anywhere? That $40,000 has not been committed anywhere. Do we know if there's any other events or something fabulous that's discretionary that we don't know about that's coming forward?
Bird Festival is actually the only other organization that has actually approached me about asking for funding.
Do you have a dollar number on that?
No, but they have actually requested to be on a future agenda.
On a future agenda.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to throw a number up there and see if it sticks. Let's throw up 22. See where you're going on that. It's a little over half of what our discretionary is in there, but I'm treating this like it's, I know the name is Harbor Festival, and I forget the tagline, but whatever Johnny said, Embarcadero Festival, something like that. I'm treating this as it's a separate thing. This is a new startup. So I'm throwing a number up there. Let's see if it sticks. I have no, you know, I can go either way on that.
I'm going to say with no Kids Cove and no sand sculpture, I'm down at 15. And I get it. I get what they're doing, and I want to see them be successful. But I need them to get some sponsor. I need, they're taking two of my favorite things out.
I'm still at 16, but that extra 9, I would be willing to approve 16 today and then talk about the 9 with these meetings you're discussing, because that 9 to 10, that 1,000, you know, in my head I'm still like, where's, you know, how are you selling me on that 9 to 10,000, and what about other sponsors? What about the Harbor Department? What about miscellaneous individuals that might want to donate that extra money right there? I'm very comfortable with the 16 today.
I'm comfortable with what Joan said at 22. I've been here 43 years, and every year I've been here, there's been a Harbor Festival. And two things. One, if the Harbor Festival doesn't happen, or if it is really scaled down, it's going to be really hard next year, especially if we, for some reason it goes away, to bring it back. I just think it'll be a huge disappointment, and people have short memories. They're going to forget about it, and they'll forget that first weekend of October is Harbor Festival. So I'd like to see it at the 22,000 and figure out a way. I mean, $3,000 for the sand sculpture, really that's not that much money. There's got to be somebody in the Morro Bay area, a business or somebody, or a combination of businesses we can find to sponsor that, because it is such a popular part of the Harbor Festival.
Okay, so we're at 2 at 22 and 2 at 16, which is what I... Were you at 15? I'm sorry. I apologize. And, okay, so... We know at least we have four at least a 16 number, because Jack and I are hitting 22. And I'm one for compromise to bring everyone together. So here we go. I'm going to shoot off a compromise. What if we looked at a compromise number, like, say, 18 today, and then brought back the additional funds, which is what, 7? Which is 7. Had them, you know, let us know where their sponsorship fell in whatever month in 90 days, and we relook as a board in 90 days at where their sponsorship came in, what goals they've met, and look at that, reserve 6,000 out of that 40, reserve it to the side for that 90-day mark. What does the board think? This is, again, all discussion, so it's all good.
I liked what Taylor was saying earlier about give them the 16 now and then see where they go. You know, because if they get PG&E and Chevron in, there's 20,000 more. You know, they need 60. So they may get those bigger sponsorships by now having us. And then if they don't get that other sponsorship, coming back before us and saying, right, and we could still reserve that in the 40. I want to see them go out and get others, and I'm looking at what's been cut out from the period. I think we could find it's easy to sit here and tell them what to do. That's the hard part, is I'm like, it's easy to find a sand sculpture, but it may not. It might be harder than we think. So, yeah, and that's the thing that's, yeah. And I get that, and that's, you know, it's just so much money. It's just so much money.
Go ahead, guys.
I'm fine with I'd like to see it at 18. I just think that we need to really get behind and show support of this event. And $2,000, it's, you know, yeah, I could say 16, but I'd like to have the Harbor Festival have the working funds to go out there and start marketing it right now.
Okay. Joan's got my ear. If we gave 20, would we still get to be a major sponsor? Would we own it? I'd go 20 if we own it. I'm having a change of heart. We'd own it. If we are the major sponsor at 20, I'd go for it. If John's going to agree, because head shake. That promises thing is what worries me, and we've been in this boat 1,000 times before.
I feel like I'm in the Grand Bazaar in Turkey. Because that's what happens, you know. People negotiate and bargain these things. So, it all depends on the board. But the two of the board members are saying, if you give us $20,000, you can own it.
How many people are on your board?
7.
This is where I'm at, Taylor. Because I'm with you. We would own it then, meaning we are the major sponsor and we get everything. And I think. I get where they're going at. If they can go present in front of the golf course or the they can say, hey, the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau and they own this and they're behind it. I think they're going to do a better job of sponsorship. I think they're going to be able to go out there and get better sponsors. And in my optimistic mind then, I'm thinking, you know what, then they can bring the Kids Cove back. They can bring the sand sculpture back, because at the end of the day, hopefully that 60 is really 70 or 75. And that would be my request, is I would say at the end of the day, if you're going to have a $5,000 for the next year, I'd almost rather see it spent. I'd almost rather see it put in the sculpture and put on those things. That's where I'd almost rather, you know what I mean? Instead of seeing it just sitting there in a bank until the next year, I'd rather see this. This is it. It's all or nothing on the Harbor Fest. It either succeeds this year or it goes away. And we either get behind it all full bank or we say forget it, in my mind. That's where I'm at.
I can comment. So I agree with what she's saying. I just, you know, for me, the 16K, and then that, I actually think that you need another 10,000 on top of that. I think you need 26,000 from us. And then if you added the other things I think you need, it brings us to 34. And for me, it's like, I'd like to just give you 34,000 and say, you need all this, we own it, this is the way it should be. But I know how this process works. I mean, I've experienced it, and I feel like if we say, here's 16,000. Now let's create this to bring it to 34,000 from other ways. I mean, I think that that's a better process. I'd be willing to vote for the 20,000 today, but I just wanted to say that I think that you've got to capitalize on these promises, or it's going to bring us all down.
Taylor, you got my ear. How about 20,000 today, and with the additional $5,000, you go out and you say, hey, we've got $5,000 in the wing. To, you know, let's say PG&E comes back to you or somebody and they say, you know, 10,000 was too much. Say, hey, we've got 5,000 in the wing right now. If we can find a 2-for-1 matching funds, that gets you to your additional 15 of what Taylor is talking about. You know, I don't know. Or let's have a 90-day of where you fall in. Let's have Brent work with you to put some guidelines together as a parameter for the additional five. I think the Tourism Bureau needs to own this thing. If you get your Valley advertising trade, whatever you call it, in kind, the way you're looking to do, if it's the weather report, I got to tell you, the weather report, getting on that weather report in the Valley, mm-hmm. it's like sends people over here backed up in droves on Highway 41 and 46. It's crazy. And, you know, the weather in Fresno is 117, and by the way, in Morro Bay, it's 71. I mean, sponsored by the Harbor Festival and Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. That gets everybody over here. Drives traffic, literally drives traffic to Morro Bay. I'm at 20, and I'm at coming back and letting us know, working with Brent to set some parameters on how you let us know where that, whether it's an email, checking back with him, and the benefits, and checking back with the benefits on those and how it's going, working with him for progress. Because to me, for the hotels, it's not just enough to say Morro Bay Harbor Festival sponsored by Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. I think, you know, there needs to be a way where it's not just the logo on a poster anymore. That, you know, we've all talked about this. A logo on a poster doesn't get you anywhere anymore. It has to be, you know, deeper than that. And so let's have, you know, Brent work with you guys to get that program.
Right. Because one of the things I'd like to chime in, Madam Chair,
sure.
is that,
absolutely.
You know, if you have these different knuckles, like, we could actually have an opportunity for the hoteliers to, could there be some VIP tickets to where they could actually, you know, get in front of the line to be able to, you know, taste the sea urchins and things like that? Could there be some programs developed from now until October to be able to, for the hoteliers to be able to create packages that would, again, create overnight rooms, you know, for the Harbor Festival? Those are some of the things that I would love to see us work with you guys on. We don't want to create a high-maintenance program. We want to create high-impact, low-maintenance, and how can we do that? How can we actually have where the lodging community could actually participate within the Harbor Festival as well? So that's where I'm kind of chiming in.
So I think we're ready to get a question going here. I think we've beat this to death. I mean, I feel, yeah. And look at the time. I mean, hello. Let's get a motion on the table. I just heard the comment 20 grand in my ear. I'm looking for someone to make a motion to support the Harbor Festival as the major event sponsor at 20,000 now. And are we looking to reserve 5,000 through future contact? I'm looking for head shakes for a yes or no on that. Let's see if somebody will put that in the motion. I'm looking for a motion, guys.
I make a motion that we approve $20,000 for the Harbor Festival to make the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau the major sponsor, and we reserve $5,000 with the idea that we help them develop it through our Morro Bay Tourism staff to get to that number of 25,000 or even 34,000. Go ahead. Okay. So I make a motion that we approve 20,000 today, reserve 5,000, and we're reserving that 5,000 so that our board, our staff works with their board / staff
to grow it.
I really think they need 34,000.
Is there a second for discussion?
I'll second that.
Okay, now we're in discussion, folks, on the motion. Michelle, I see you chomping at the bit.
So I want to understand this 5,000, and I want to understand somewhere in that motion what we're directing staff to do.
So 20,000 today, okay. Cash for the bones.
I just want direction.
Yeah. So the $5,000 we're saying, go back at Harbor Festival. We'll reserve this $5,000 for you. to work with Brent. You come back to Brent and let Brent know how your funding is going, not to have Brent go out and find sponsors for you, but for you to come back to Brent and let Brent know, because I want to be clear about what our staff's role is, to have Harbor Festival come back to Brent and let Brent know how it's going and see if you can get that matched at a 2-for-1. So if you can get that 5 matched with an additional 5 from someone, an additional 5 from someone else, it hits you to 35. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because then we can get the lady watching. Then we get the same time. That's a good investment of money.
Your microphone, please. Say that again.
That's a good investment of money.
Jack, any comments? Any discussion, I mean? No?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, so back to the promise thing then. With the $20,000, we at least will get promised fireworks. Am I correct? Harborfest? Okay, so it's not a guarantee of fireworks, just so we're clear. If we... And reserving the 5, it is?
But by reserving the 5, to me, that guarantees fireworks.
That could be the caveat at the end.
Right.
We have $55,000 with your 20. We can't do the fireworks unless we get another 5.
And that's why we reserved the 5.
To be honest with you, having you guys being the major sponsor, I think it's going to make the person we have that does sponsorship
much easier
to go out and maybe get 100,000. I mean, let's not speak. Yeah. We're speaking so pessimistic here. I'm going to be optimistic about it.
Yeah.
So.
I just want to make sure the fireworks are in there for the 20.
We're in discussion.
But 20 with the reserve 5. But again, I'm optimistic. But if I'm on a pessimistic side and my cup is half full and they don't get any sponsorships, there is no guarantee for fireworks. I just want to make sure we understand.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I think that I feel comfortable with these promises if Brent's involved. And that's why we're reserving the 5. The 5's there. Full 25's there. But Brent's got to be involved to get it. And that creates 2-for-1. That's what I want.
And the only thing I would really say is I strongly, strongly, strongly encourage a survey now of the 2014 Harbor Festival weekend funding, especially since everyone's in tax season. They're going to have all that information pulled together right now. And then go back and have a 2015 survey so that you can have benchmarks and we understand what's occurred down there. But that's a side comment that creates accountability as well. I think Brent has something.
I do.
And then I'm going to call a question.
You know, it is a part of the discussion. I don't know if you want to amend the motion, but we can't just look at this as being a one-year commitment. I would love to see the board consider doing a 2-year commitment. You don't have to put a dollar amount on it, but we can't just look at it as being us supporting it this year and then next year it's like there's not a commitment from this organization, because we can't just do $20,000 this year and walk away and say we're not going to support it for next year.
I think that's a great point, but I think it's also we're in the process of creating our budget and whatnot, so let's have maybe ask you to go back and sit with them to see what a program might be before we lock our budget down for next year. That way it's not part of a discretionary fund, but it actually becomes a line item or whatever you want to call it, not necessarily a line item, but it becomes, through your work, you suggest back to us what that looks like. That's why you and Jasmine are over there. So I'm going to call the question. So let's hear the motion back one more time so we fully understand on what we're voting for. Sorry, Jasmine. Microphone. AGP wants to hear this. Did she get it? Here we go. Drum roll.
There's a motion to approve a There's a motion to provide Harbor Festival with $20,000 today, keeping $5,000 in reserve contingent upon the Harbor Festival staff working with the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau staff.
To obtain additional $10,000 in sponsorship.
Is that a friendly amendment? Because that wasn't included in the verbiage.
I would do that separate.
I think that there might have been some confusion because I wasn't actually 100% clear when Member Newton's motion ended.
Okay. It never ends. So, Taylor, was that included that they were going to grow that funding from?
That's the intention. I don't think it's a requirement, but that's my intention.
Okay.
That's my intention, but it's not a requirement.
But I think that that's pretty clear between staff and the conversation and also probably the Harbor Festival gang that's out there, right? So we've got a question. We've got the motion on the table. I'm going to call question. All in favor of the motion as stated?
Wait. I'm not clear. Is it stated with that additional comment or is it stated without that? I just want clarification on what she's got for her motion because she did not include that intention part. And I'm wanting to know if that intention part is part of the motion.
And you and board also talked about owning
the
event,
festival.
And that was not
okay.
within the motion.
So
I think we need a new motion.
Okay, well, let's make a friendly amendment. We've got a motion on the table. Let's see if Member Newton would be interested in adding the intent to grow the $5,000 to $15,000 through additional sponsorship, and that the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau be the major sponsor, the hero sponsor of the Harbor Festival, the lead sponsor. What's it called? The title sponsor. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate that. the gentleman to my right, thank you. The title sponsor. Is that something that you two would be interested in?
That's exactly what I like.
Yes, title sponsor. Okay. So that's a friendly amendment by those two. Jasmine, do you have that? Okay. So the motion is $20,000 today cash, $5,000 in reserve for Harbor Festival to come back to the Tourism Bureau and report whether they could obtain an additional $10,000 in sponsorship to make that $5,000 turn into $15,000, and that the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau is the major title sponsor of the 2015 Harbor Festival. That was Taylor Newton, Member Newton's motion, with a second by Member Smith, by Jack. Are we all together on that? Okay, I'm going to call a question. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. You have a 4-all vote for that. So thank you very much for your time, for hanging in there with us today as we worked through that. I'm sure you had worked through it long before us, so we much appreciate your time and patience with us. Okay, so we swayed the dragon. Onward and upward. Okay. Approval of minutes. We move on to number 4, which is approval of minutes. These are our previous board minutes going way back to January 8th, 2015 for the Tourism Bureau and for the February 12th meeting, two sets of minutes. I looked them over last night. I didn't see anything that was, you know, needed change, and I know you fellas, you know, I don't know if you saw. Okay.
I'll make a motion that we approve the January 8th Morro Bay Tourism Bureau board meeting minutes. Do you want them in one separate? Do you want each minute separate?
No, I think we can take them Thursday. You can just say the dates.
Okay, so I will make a motion Thursday, January 8th, board meetings approved, as well as Thursday, February 12th, Tourism Bureau board meeting be approved.
I second.
Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Good. Great. Another 4-0 vote. Look at us. Okay, that was fast. Morro Bay Tourism Bureau bylaw review. I'm sorry, did I? Oh, board updates. Board updates and recruitment. For that, I'm going to turn to Brent.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Recruitment
Chairperson. You actually had, at your place setting, there are the vacancies that are currently available for the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District. Currently, there are vacancies for the hotel and motel community or the lodging community here. We have a vacancy for a property with 22 rooms or less, also 50 rooms or less, and then also a hotelier member at large, so it can actually be at any size. Currently, I do know that there are two applications in with the City of Morro Bay. I don't know if I have the discretion to be able to communicate who those individuals are at this time. Madam Chairperson, are we allowed to?
I would not. I would just say that there are two, and the only reason is that I wouldn't want it. It's a kind of a funky thing, the way you have to go through public, these two know, you go through a public interview process, you know, and I don't want anyone to think, oh, you know, somebody more, you know, with more years of experience is applying, so I won't apply. That's not it at all. Everybody has a gift that they can bring to the table, so I'd rather see everyone who might be interested come out.
So as far as the other vacancy, there is a vacancy for the San Luis Obispo County Tourism Marketing District Board. There is actually one representative from the lodging community for that, and so there's an ability for the lodging community to apply for anybody within the lodging community, and that can include hotels, motels, campgrounds, RV parks, and vacation rentals to apply for the San Luis Obispo County Tourism Marketing District Board. And so I would definitely recommend for anybody who is out in the audience to attain an application from the City of Morro Bay. If they are interested, I can definitely email that to them as well. You can email me at Brent, B-R-E-N-T, at morrobay.org. But for the hotel-motel community, I would definitely recommend that or highlight that if you are a hotelier out in the listening community here in Morro Bay, to definitely submit your application. Application deadline is Friday, April 24th, 5 p.m., and they are planning on doing interviews. They're anticipating the interviews the week of May 11th. So I'm very happy that we do have some lodging properties that are interested and have submitted their application, and that has been confirmed by the city clerk.
I just want to give a little update on the TMD. There was a county board of supervisors hearing on Tuesday, and they actually postponed a decision on the TMD. The county itself, the county administration office, when they noticed for the countywide TMD, had an error in the notification on about 100 vacation rentals, from what I understand. I mean, I'm not totally clear on exactly what happened, but there were some vacation rentals that were not properly noticed, so they have to go back and re-notice those folks. So they're going to go back and re-notice those folks. They're in an unincorporated area, I think, outside of Paso, and so they're getting back around to doing that, and so we have to, I guess, the process is to wait for that to occur and then go back before the Board of Supervisors. So they did have a meeting this week, but it was postponed because of that notification. They want, you know, in terms of process, they want to make sure everybody's clearly and concisely notified. And so that's where they're at on that. But I believe they're still moving forward with seating the board. So that was my understanding. And do you know if anyone's applied for that from Morroway?
I believe that we've had at least one application that I'm aware of for the countywide tourism marketing district from Morro Bay.
Okay. So that was a question I had. That's what I know in terms of board updates and recruitment. And thank you, Brent, for providing that information to us. And again, strongly encourage folks to come either down to the Tourism Bureau, go down to City Hall. If you're a hotelier in Morro Bay, you should really be interested in terms of stepping forward to, you know, better your community. There's a small group of us. There's about 35 hotels, but there's really only about 18 owners. So when you talk about pulling five onto our board, you're talking about really a third of the hoteliers, almost nearly a third of the hoteliers here in Morro Bay with five on the board. So I just want to be clear to everyone out there. It's not like there's folks think that there's a lot of hotels and hotel owners in Morro Bay. There's really not that big of a hotel community, which is why we communicate pretty well with each other, because, yeah, we're a small group, right? So I do want to encourage folks to step forward, but I know it's difficult, especially coming up into the busy season. So
now, just to let you know what the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau has been doing for recruitment efforts, we have been including the links and information to the lodging community through our Wednesday email process. We've also physically mailed out to all of the lodging properties here in Morro Bay. So all 35 have received the application and the notification. We are going to be doing another mailing this week and or next week. So we will be mailing out the information on the vacancy notices as well as the application. So those properties that do not have email or who are not responding via email, we are making sure that we get that information out to everybody. So
I just want to say, from my perspective and probably everyone else up here, that's an extra effort, which had we not had a director of tourism and a staff, we would not be able to do that from a pure volunteer board. This is another way that our staff works with the city to help an advisory board move forward. And that's your own idea. You went out and did that on your own, so I appreciate the partnership with the city and the forward thinking on that, because it certainly, I think, is going to help the effort. Okay. Now we move on. I believe we're done with that, unless anybody has questions for staff. Okay. We're going to move on to the Tourism Bureau bylaw review. Tourism Bureau bylaw review recommendations for adoption. Did everyone have an opportunity to review the bylaws that are in your binder? Does anybody have any questions or changes that they'd like to see made? Jack, no? The only question that I have is, and you can see that we pigeonhole ourselves in terms of 22 rooms or less, 50 rooms or less, 40 rooms or more, 22 rooms, is it necessary to do that? And I've long thought from the very beginning that it was not necessary. There were some folks who were concerned that it was necessary, that all the large hotels, which we don't have any large hotels in Morro Bay, but that all the large hotels would control everything. And, I mean, you remember this conversation, don't you, Michelle? Okay. I have the second smallest hotel or third smallest hotel in Morro Bay with the Pleasant Inn at 10 rooms. And, you know, I certainly don't feel that way. I think we could make all of our hotel members at large just a hotelier or a representative from a hotel. I don't think that we need to pigeonhole ourselves in terms of, you know, if we have one opening for a 50 or more, and, you know, Jane wants to come out for the board with 17 rooms, or Ms. Foster wants to come out for she has two or three rooms. I just feel like, you know, because it says 50 or more, they're discouraged from coming out. I don't want to discourage good volunteers. So the change I would be looking to see if the board would be interested in would be to remove the language that state pigeonholes under section, let me find that.
I'm looking right at it. It's under Article 5, Section 2, Criteria. It's right there.
I'm gonna read it for the record here. Section 2, Criteria. 5, ex officio directors shall be representatives of lodging businesses paying the district assessment, consisting of at least one director representing a lodging business with less than 22 rooms and at least one director representing a lodging business or business with 50 or more rooms. Cumulatively, the two ex officio at-large directors shall be residents and registered voters of Morro Bay. The remaining non-ex officio directors shall be representatives of lodging, restaurants, retail. I mean, it's just, it just makes it so hard. So I'm wondering if we want to do five ex officio directors shall be representatives of lodging businesses paying the district assessment consisting and just leave it at that. Cap it at the first line. I want to hear what you guys think.
I think I would definitely go along with removing that language and just making it open to everybody. Some of their, like you said, some people may be intimidated by applying. And plus, I think it's going to make it more of a cohesive group if it's just open to anyone and you don't have to worry about labels.
I agree with what Joan's saying, what Jack said. I'm surprised that there's only four of us up here and two of us don't own hotels. And if the language is what is keeping people away, then remove the language. But I also, at the same time, I do think that how many people do you propose? The number for the board, it seems very large to me, and I do think that having fewer people keeps the meetings moving along faster.
Good point. We have been able to get through our meetings a little bit. So the reason behind why there was that, and Joan kind of touched on it, is people were wanting, or the conversation at the time was, if you have a five-room hotel, you're going to have a different point of view on your hotel business versus a hotel that has 97 rooms. So that was kind of where that came into play. We've made a change or two from that at one point. There was something... We've made a couple of changes to it, but I think, I think I've learned over the last few years, I think, you know, your hoteliers, your hoteliers. I mean, I think it doesn't really matter whether you have one hotel or 97 hotel rooms. You still are in the hotel business, and so I do think that it may be putting people into little boxes too much. I know there was, and I think it came up because with myself, I had came in originally under one hotel, and we have three properties. So then they turned around and the city said, oh, no, you represent three hotels. So now you have to combine all your hotels together and get your room count. So I think that in Morro Bay, like Joan had brought up, you have a lot of hoteliers that have multiple properties. So I have to wear a hat of one small hotel or three small hotels to equal one big one. So I don't think it's, I think we're really putting ourselves in a box. And I think we need to make it a little bit more broad. And I'm sure you've heard this, Taylor, several times. Joan's brought it up. We're the only board in California that has non-hoteliers on their board. And we've done that for the city, and we've done that for ourselves. I think it gives us a better view of what's going on in the community. So I think we've done that, and I think it's been a great partnership because we're a partner with the city. And I think that it's always been great value to have people sitting here on the board that aren't just hotel operators. Cause we have our own brain. So it's nice to get another side of it. Yeah, our Kingston brain. Yeah. So I do think we need to kind of make this a little bit more open and a little bit more easier for people to be a part of the board and not feel like they're denied because they may not fit into this certain box that we're trying to put them in. So I would be completely open for making this a little bit more broad in the bylaws.
So a good example of that is when I owned the Days Inn. I owned the Days Inn, and it was connected to the beach bungalow at the time, and the beach bungalow was not the beach bungalow, it was the Days Inn, and it had 58 rooms. And I was put into a classification that was 50 rooms or greater. But let's be clear, hotels or any business, a restaurant, the whatever it is, they're commodities, they're real estate commodities. So if you sell the piece of real estate, but you still have another hotel, suddenly you could be pigeonholed in your position on the board to being off the board. So if Michelle was in 50 rooms or more and her owner went tomorrow and sold two properties and Michelle had to get off the board because of that, we would have a loss of all of her knowledge and her works that she's done in terms of tourism here in the community and you know, her forward thinkingness. And so suddenly the board would be in change and flux just randomly because a real estate transaction. So I'm kind of for a more inclusive board that can include everyone at any time. That's my thinking on this. So I would be willing to make a motion that I'll make a motion that, and see how it goes, that we remove the language under Article 5, Directors, Section 2, Criteria, that the language read, 5 ex officio directors shall be representatives of lodging businesses paying the district assessment, period. And then that we move further down, say the next sentence picks up at the 2 ex officio at-large directors shall be residents and registered voters of Morro Bay, the remaining non-ex, and start there. Go ahead. Right, so the motion will be that, my motion will be that we end the sentence, the first sentence under Section 2 criteria at the word assessment, where the comma is. We end it there at the word assessment, period. And then we pick up with the 2 ex officio at large, and we remove the body of the paragraph that's in between, the next, the two lines that are in between. And I'd like my motion to include that we make a recommendation to the Morro Bay TBID board for their next meeting to review their bylaws and do the same, because these are direct reflection bylaws. So my motion is that we remove the language in the middle and we just go to 5 lodging members at large and then have 2 ex officio. Is that under, does staff have that? Okay, they're saying microphone. So it is to have, my motion is to have 5 ex officio directors shall be representatives of lodging businesses paying the district assessment, period, and then pick up at the 2 ex officio at large directors and complete the paragraph. That's my motion. My motion also includes that we make the same recommendation to the Morro Bay TBID board to review their bylaws and have a direct reflection of the same language, and that that is then recommended up to the City Council for adoption. Is there a second on that?
I'll second. Gotcha, Jack.
There's discussion now. We're in discussion. Any further discussion? Nope. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay.
Can I want to comment on one thing just real quick. I got a phone call from a hotelier, and it's along these lines. I'm just going to bring it up. They wanted me to go up to public comment, and I didn't have a chance to do that because I didn't listen to the message until now. One comment was that they, and you might remember this, many years ago, we used to kind of have, before we had a director of tourism, and that's why I'm going to bring this up, because now we have a director of tourism. But before we had a director of tourism, each board member kind of had 7 or 8 hoteliers that they would contact. And they would call, and they would, you know, touch base, and they would give feedback. A complaint I'm hearing is that the board members aren't reaching out to our hoteliers anymore. And I'm bringing this up just kind of live on TV because I think the hoteliers, if they have an issue, they can always come to our board members, but we now have a staff member and we now have a director of tourism. So my thought would be, if the hoteliers need something, I would hope that they would go to our director of tourism. If they're not, then they can come to the board members. But in my opinion, it's not the board members' job anymore to be necessarily being always in touch with those hoteliers as far as having a list of people that were under. That's why we have staff. So I'm just going to bring that up as public comment, or bring it up as a comment since we just talked about this, because that was part of what it was. If you remember, it was like I had hotels that were larger and, you know, everybody had their little group. Well, we're not having groups anymore, and I would just say to all those hoteliers out there, if you have an issue, please reach out to the director of tourism. That's what their job is. If you feel you're not getting through to them, then of course you can contact a board member. But that's, I think we've changed those roles, and so I'm just kind of bringing that up now because it was a comment that was made to me that they wanted me to address it to this board, and I know we have older members that weren't part of that board, so I thought I'm going to bring it up in general in case it comes back as a public comment issue. So I think that's not our role anymore, and so correct me if I'm wrong, but our role should be as, you know, voting. I mean, we can always talk to hoteliers, but that's not technically our job anymore.
So Member Jaquez, what we'll do, because we do have a mailing going out this week, we will include the contact list that's very similar within your board binder. So that way all of the properties actually have the contact information, not just for the board and for the staff, but also for our city council liaison as well. So
perfect. Thank you, Brent.
Okay, so moving on, we're at the Morro Bay Adventure Pass and National Travel and Tourism Week. Sorry, tongue tied. New initiative for visitors launched for the National Travel and Tourism Week. Let's get people traveling, folks.
I am very excited about this, and I know you guys had a lot of things that you've covered so far in the meeting, but this is the exciting part of my job, your job. You know, obviously one of the goals that we're trying to do is to get people to stay longer and spend more money. It has actually been in my purview to try to figure out a way in how we can actually bring some sort of a pass. There's a lot of cities that do City Pass, and so I wanted to introduce you guys to the Morro Bay Adventure Pass. We have been working with a lot of the Morro Bay businesses in doing some negotiation as far as costs, etc. And so we wanted to introduce this new Adventure Pass for National Travel and Tourism Week, which is going to be held May 2nd through the 10th. And so I have actually provided you guys with handouts. You can see who we've been working with. We don't have quite all of the agreements in as of yet. But this pass will actually allow for visitors and also residents, too, to be able to purchase the pass at a discounted rate to be able to take advantage of different activities, such as renting a kayak, stand-up paddleboard. They can go on boat cruises, different tours, etc. They can also use some of the vouchers to be able to upgrade to go on a whale-watching tour, go on a fishing excursion. They can also do golfing. But we wanted to actually be able to customize and to appeal to some of the different audiences. We started out with doing the individual pass, and as you can see, we're looking at charging $45 for the individual pass. But then we started seeing what was coming in as far as like some of the different businesses, and you know, some of the businesses are able to provide, you know, double kayaks, you know, two-seater surreys. So we thought that we would also create a couples pass. And then we didn't want to forget about the family entity, and I know that a lot of families, Michelle, you have brought this up many a different meetings, that we don't want to forget about the family component. So we definitely wanted to create a family pass as well. So here are the three different passes with the information, like I said, in front of you. The pass will actually be good for 3 days. How it's going to work is that you will actually purchase the pass online. You will bring the receipt into the visitor center. Your pass will be activated the day that you bring your receipt into the visitor center, and it will be good for 3 days. This will encourage people to be able to stay longer, enjoy the different activities within Morro Bay. We also included a fourth component to the Morro Bay Adventure Pass to talk about the free things that people can do here in Morro Bay that will also be able to help fill up that time, make them feel like they're getting a little bit more for their dollar as well. So what I am actually proposing, and I wanted to get approval from the board today, was that with this pass, we want to offer a special National Travel and Tourism Week pricing and promotion, saving $15 in 2015. We know that the Bureau is going to be assuming the liability, because if you were to buy these things individually, it would be a lot more than $45, $60, and $90. People are saving about between 20 to 25% off of the actual value. So for us, we definitely want to do a launch. We want to bring some media exposure to this. We want to be able to promote this on social media. We want to promote this through our partners, such as Visit San Luis Obispo County. So my proposal is that we would take $15 off just the week of National Travel and Tourism Week. This doesn't mean that you have to use it during that week. It just means you have to purchase it during that week. So if you want to purchase it and use it in June. You want to use it in July, as long as you're actually using it up before the end of this year. So my goal is that we want to have a really great launch of this Adventure Pass by offering these special rates of $30 for an individual, $45 for a couple, and $75 for a family, because we really want to go into this summer season with a big bang. And one of our goals as the organization is to get people to extend their stay. And I really do feel like we can actually extend people's stay by offering this Adventure Pass. I will tell you, there will be no dollar amount put on the printed pass. So if we needed to fluctuate the rate somewhat, if there's additional partners that wanted to come online and we needed to fluctuate that price point, we could definitely do that. And that's why we're only going to have the price point be available online. It will not be on a printed, it won't be in a printed piece. It will not be in any of our print media. You know, we will be obviously promoting this via social media, so we will be, you know, advertising specifically the price, but that's, we're always going to make sure that it will always have like that end, you know, it'll only be available at this price for, you know, to X date. So I did want to get the board's feedback as far as like the Mora Bay Adventure Pass. I'm very excited about it. We have business, the business community is very excited about it. Jack, I hope that you're excited about it because you're listed in the free activities for the skateboard museum, but we definitely wanted to highlight, we want to move the needle. We want people to stay longer here in Morro Bay, and I just really feel like this is a great way on how to be able to move that needle.
Questions for staff?
Yeah. Brent, would it be, is there a way that it could be made available besides online? Could it be made available at the hoteliers and at different businesses?
That's a really great question, Jack. And yes, we do want to create a program to where hotels will also be able to sell this to their guests. And we will be putting a program together where it will be a discounted rate for hotels. The beautiful thing about this whole program is, let's just say that the Best Western San Marcos, Best Western Plus San Marcos, actually has a guest that decides that they want to do the Adventure Pass as a part of their stay. They have a cancellation policy, is it 48 hours? Between 24 to 72 hours. No money specifically has to be exchanged until they know that that guest actually checks in. So the hotel could actually purchase the pass the minute that they check in. So even if there was a cancellation, we don't have to worry about the cancellation policy, etc. Having that online component allows for somebody to be able to purchase that up to, you know, up to the day that they want to actually have it go active. The other beautiful thing in having that online component is, let's just say that somebody actually comes into the bureau office or the visitor center, they could purchase it right then and there with a credit card. So it allows for a purchase to actually happen right as we speak. So having that online component, it's definitely there. If a guest wants to purchase it when they're coming to the front desk and they want to do an add-on, hoteliers could actually do it just right then and there. So it allows that flexibility.
I love this.
Kudos to you and your staff. Huge, huge, awesome. For a hotelier, that's what we want, is length of stay. They need to know what to do. I love the free idea in the back. You, in my elevator, when you walk in, there's like 100 things to do in the county free. So this is really cool to have and be able to give them a handout. You know, I think it's great. I've done the City Pass before. If anyone's ever done the City Pass, when you go to like San Francisco, they have them at New York, San Diego. It's very cool to have the same type of concept for our town. I am just ecstatic. This is great. So, and I think it'll be easy having the online component because, Jack, I know as a hotelier, like you're saying, we could just go in and purchase them then right then and there at our in our office and then have them come in. I would assume that the pass, when they get them, will be a little thicker? This is just an example, or can you describe what the actual
pass? Exactly. So they will actually redeem the receipt when they go online. They will redeem the receipt at the visitor center, and then they will receive a packet. We are going to be printing that out on heavier paper. It will be perforated, so all of the vouchers will be redeemed with the businesses, and then we will collect on a monthly basis, and then we will reimburse the business on the negotiated rate that we have with them. So we aren't planning on doing a huge print run this first round, just in case if there's any complications, but it will also allow us some flexibility that this pass can actually evolve over the year. It doesn't have to stay specifically the same. So I'm excited, and I have to tell you, we couldn't do this without the business community here. We could not do this. We have businesses that are very excited about this, and also I couldn't do this without Sharon Bufo. Sharon has been pounding the pavement. We've been putting the agreements together. We got some feedback the first round that we tried to do this, and so we had to retool it, and so it was great that Sharon was able to get that feedback from businesses. Again, we were able to retool it, come back at the businesses, and businesses have been super excited. So this is just a preliminary. We don't have agreements for everybody, so if you guys can keep this information to yourself, you know, but definitely we are looking at the majority. I would say 90% of the businesses that you're seeing in there have actually come back with us with a signed agreement. So I am super excited about it. We are working on the online component right now, it's so for hoteliers, what the plan will be actually for hotels, motels, you guys will be provided with a discount code. That discount code will change monthly, so that way we can keep track of, you know, make sure that people are, you know, keeping track of what that discount code is. And so we will provide that discount code to the hotel community, so that way you guys, what we're probably looking at doing is doing a $5 off of the actual pass. So that way we know that the guests will actually receive an additional discount, and to encourage them to do an overnight stay.
So obviously you want this up and running by National Travel and Tourism Week. When are you expecting this to launch?
May 1st.
Okay.
Yay. Car show, here we come. Right? Estimated total liability in terms of cash, dollars?
Since we are assuming about 20 to 25% at the highest of liability, if a person who purchases a pass and they do the highest dollar amount activity with every single voucher, we will lose about 25% per pass. However, if we're actually able to get them to extend their stay for an additional night, we will actually make that up in the overnight revenue.
I understand. What's the okay? So then here I go.
I can't even give you the total amount, but so we're able to definitely track that based off of
my next thing.
And we will be tracking that, and I will be reporting to the board on a monthly basis on where we're at as far as the adventure pass.
That's what I like to hear. Okay, so I like it. I think it's something new. It's something we haven't tried. It's something we haven't been able to try because we haven't had a DOT, Director of Tourism, an EDOT. So now that we have one, let's get the DOT over the top of the I and get some of these details hammered out and get some of these programs moving. I like it. I see head nods from the board. I think we're in consensus. Do we actually need to take a vote on this, or can we consensus move it forward? It's inside of the budget. Where are you taking this out of in the budget?
It'll be in the sponsorship
section.
It's
in the sponsorship section, okay.
I don't think we necessarily need any type of...
This, to me, is a new program that you're introducing to us, and it's within the scope of your DOT works, your DOT matrix. So,
well, and I love
it.
And it goes in, it's connecting all those dots of what Morro Bay is, and I think that's what's so cool.
Okay. So good, great. Thank you for that. We're excited about it. I can see this being a huge benefit. I know, Michelle, you probably get this too. Folks request an early check-in through a third-party booking channel. You don't get the message. They show up at noon expecting a check-in for a wedding or whatever it is, and, you know, the guests who were there requested a late checkout of 2. And so, you know, you have, this is a great, instead of having to, like, comp the room, you're like, well, here, you know, sorry about that, let's get you moving forward, and here's a city pass. I mean, I can see this also being a nice little icing piece for us.
I agree, and we're also looking at expanding this eventually for groups that will come in.
Terrific.
So we'll probably look at a group pass, but we definitely want to make sure that we're working with businesses that are able to accommodate larger groups, so... And you never know. There's this could expand to, it could expand to a lot of different types of activities. It doesn't necessarily have to just be activity based. One of the things that I would love to do maybe down the road is look at some things for retail and restaurants. So
I was going to say, even the events that pay under, you know, if this were, you know, like Avocado Margarita Festival something or other, I mean, even events could be eventually included in here. It's very cool. Thank you for the great forward-thinking idea. Okay, so we move forward now. We are moving on
to the website update. In front of you, I also had, it was included within your packet, but...
I'm sorry, I just need to officially move us on to number 8, Executive Director and Staff Report. Website update.
Yep.
Brent, hit it.
Okay. In front of you, I did print out the proposal that we received, but I wanted to give you a little bit of background here. On what the activities that we've been doing as far as like website. We've actually reached out to a number of different companies. Some have actually been through our agency. Some have actually been other recommendations from stakeholders. I had actually met with iTech Solutions last year. Some of the pros, obviously, it's a local company and it will provide the support, inexpensive solution. It was about $7,500 to actually create a website with them. But unfortunately, the cons does not provide the solutions like calendar, specials, database, that what we need for our website. They would actually have to custom build all of those different things. So we did actually take them off the list. Boutique, which actually has changed their name to Booking, and I don't recall what that is. Boutique was actually recommended by a couple of the hotel properties because they actually use Boutique for their websites and for their CMS, which is custom management system. It's what we call the back end of the website. Works well with the hotel industry. They are expanding a little bit with destinations. It's easy to use CMS, which is, again, the back end system. It's an inexpensive option. Actually, after talking to the representative with them that works here in Morro Bay, they do provide some great, you know, service, etc. But again, it doesn't provide the solutions that we're needing, especially with the calendar, the specials, the database. It works very, very well on a hotel standpoint, but it doesn't work well for a destination standpoint. So they actually got crossed off the list as well. SimpleView works specifically with destinations. They have been creating award-winning websites for destinations across the United States and around the world. Love what they're doing with destinations. They have a great customer relationship management. That's what CRM stands for, and CMS capabilities. Love both of those. Their quote came in at $74,000 plus about $12,000 per year for the usage, and they got crossed off the list. Love again what they're doing, and again they do some great things. If we were a destination that had a lot of meeting and convention facilities and sports facilities that were bringing in thousands of dollars, when it comes to that, I could definitely see us, you know, working with SimpleView. They work with Monterey right now, and they do some great things as far as like keeping them organized and keeping track of, you know, customers coming in and potential customers. But I felt like for our needs, it really didn't fit. It didn't fit the what we're looking for. We also met with Digital Gear. This was a recent one. They were recommended by some other destinations here in California. Great group of people. They had some inexpensive solutions. They fit within what our budget was for websites. They do specialize in working with destinations. On the con side of it, they would have to build custom solutions for us, such as in areas for calendar and specials, etc., which would take approximately from start to finish about 6 months to start the website project and to finish the website project. And, you know, even though that you know, they came back with some great solutions as far as like different platforms that we could build our website with. They were recommending WordPress, which is our current platform. We went back to them saying we're not interested in doing another WordPress site. They came back with Squarespace, Craft, and Shopify, and they had some intriguing things that they were talking about in Craft and Shopify. We did eliminate Squarespace because it's really not a platform that I'm interested in, because it would require a lot of training on the back end for staff, and it's not as intuitive, and we definitely want to save a lot on staff time. Jasmine was also a part of the meetings that we had with some of the recent, and she gave her feedback as well. What I'm presenting with you to the board, and you guys do not have it in front of you, so Jasmine, if you could hand these out to the board, this, but it was also included in your board packets, is the final updated proposal from Moby Manage. Moby Manage was also recommended to us by destinations in California, and fortunately they worked collectively with some of my constituents back in the Minnesota market, and so I was able to get some recommendations from some of my constituents back there. They were, again, recommended by destinations. They specialized in working with destinations. They provide inexpensive solutions, and they were very cost-effective. They have modules, and they also have solutions that are ready. They don't have to... they can customize those modules, but they're basically on the shelf that they have developed themselves. So they have calendar functionality. They have couponing and specials functionality. They have a way in how members can actually log in to update profiles, etc. There's that ability. They can customize it based off of what they already have built. So that was one of the biggest things for us as staff as we're moving ahead with this website project. We're actually able to expand the website in the future too, because they have these modules already built. So if we wanted to add on, I can't even think of one of the modules right now, Jasmine, but you know, we talked about what is our immediate needs, but they do have modules that they are actually easy and are able to add on to a website with zero issue, because they're building the site. It's a part of their technology, and we would actually own our website, etc. They can complete the project within 3 to 4 month period of time, and that really fits within kind of where we want to be. I would have loved to have a new website done by the end of May, but it looks like we're going to be shooting more for June. So, again, the project proposal is in front of you. I would definitely go to the very back of the proposal. You can see starting on page... they don't have it listed, but it's actually, if you go, it's the last where it says solution quotation, which will be on your left hand. It actually starts with a breakdown of the different costs. $10,000 in responsive design and development. They do a database syndication, so yes, all of the information that will be going into the website will actually be database driven. We're also going to be including an interactive map, and that's actually very important on the mobile standpoint. Desktop, the interactive map isn't used as much on a desktop, but it is used more in a mobile application where people will be able to get directions, etc. After conversing with Jasmine on do we want this, do we not want this, it could be a way of another revenue stream for the Tourism Bureau to be able to have people upgrade their listing within the map. You can do a basic listing, or else you can upgrade. So it's a way in how we can do that. We definitely wanted the destination blog to be able to market and promote all of the different PR and the different stories here in Morro Bay. The ad network actually allows us to be able to, again, have ways in how we can do a revenue stream if the board, I know in the past, wanted to move away from not doing ads on the website. But we're also asked quite often what are you doing to promote my event? We can actually keep track of the event promotions that we have on our website and click-throughs, et cetera, through this ad network, so we felt like that was of value. We can also do some things on promoting different packages and promotions and even the new Morro Bay Adventure Pass on there, so it allows us to be able to have a tracking mechanism for that. So obviously the SEO setup, they're going to be helping us with that. The hotel booking, we can work with MobiManage to find out if Jackrabbit is the best route for us to go for the hotel and lodging community here in Morro Bay. They do have some other options, and we can explore those options through them. The coupons and discounts allow for us to be able to do hotel and motel specials, but also expand into restaurant, retail, and attractions, which is awesome. But with that, there's also a way in how members or businesses can actually log in on the back end through this specific module to be able to help update and keep their portion of their information updated. So it will also take, it will help reduce some of the staff time. Obviously, analytics is very important, and then doing the form forms component of that. So as you can see, it comes in at $27,500, but we are adding an additional component, and I know the board had basically approved $30,000 for the website project. We do want help with support and maintenance and the data syndication, and social media wall obviously is something that we... that our agency is doing, so it's actually coming in with an additional $3,600, which does actually bring us over the dollar amount of $30,000, but it's about $1,000 over, so a little bit under $1,000. So we're very excited about working with this group. Again, that they have that experience in working with destinations, they understand this market, where a lot of other web companies that we met with just didn't really understand what we need to accomplish. So I feel very confident. I told them that I cannot sign this until I get board approval, because we are going over the dollar amount that was allocated through the meeting that you guys had just this last month concerning the website project.
Okay, so I'm not sure where everyone's at. Do you have questions for staff? I do. I'm not sure where you two are at. Do you want me to start, Michelle, or do you want to start? Okay. Okay. So here's some questions I have. I pulled this and did some research on the other sites that they list, and I happen to be in a unique position this week, because we have some folks, we get a lot of European travelers in Morro Bay, but we have some specifically coming to our home, some good friends of ours, and they are coming out, and we are doing a trip of a lifetime with them through, we're doing the European trip, the loop, Highway 1, San Francisco, Death Valley, Vegas, San Diego, Los Angeles, and they're out. So I am the travel planner. So I have been visiting 1,250,000 websites over the past couple of weeks. And one of them is the Yosemite site. So when I saw that come up in this report, as they're doing, they list here their new site hasn't launched yet. Well, I was looking at it, and what I was going to say to you is it's really heavy with ads and a bit clunky. The best site that I visited so far is San Francisco. It's sanfrancisco.travel.com, and it's so laid out, super easy. It's got an itinerary builder for the city, which is, like, amazing. And I, because of the itinerary builder, we've gone from staying one night in San Francisco to two nights, because it helped me realize we can't get done what they want to do in one night because of the itinerary of items. So I feel very strongly about an itinerary builder being a part of the program, because we're trying to increase the MLOS. And I don't think, I'm not sure, that, and I think, so going back to the City Pass, the Adventure Pass that we're doing, it's to create a longer MLOS. And another way to do that is through an itinerary builder, which then, you know, this is basically an itinerary builder for the year. And having the itinerary builder on the first POS point of sale, which is morrobay.org, and I think if you asked any hotelier in town, morrobay.org would be in their top three referring sites, right? We would certainly hope so, or we're not doing our job. Better be number one, guys, or TripAdvisor, which we also sponsor the Morro Bay page of. So to me, having an itinerary builder supports the overnight stays. I know it's additional funding. On the little menu down here, it's $2,500. Thank you, $2,500. So I understand that we're already a little bit over budget, but I think if we're talking about doing this again, and I don't even want to discuss how much money we've spent on websites in 18 years, but I also understand that your website's like a kid. The first time you launch a website, you have a newborn. In 18 years, you've spent a lot of money on your kid. And then they're doing things like going to college and, you know, getting married. This is a kid. It's a life site website needs to be breathing. It's a breathing, living, changing, evolving thing. And, you know, if we're going to do it, we should do it right.
Madam Chair.
That's my thought.
I'm just going to, I want to respond to the itinerary builder.
Uh-oh.
And I think I'm glad that you were using that for San Francisco.
Uh-oh.
But typically, historically, less than 5% of people actually use an itinerary builder on a website. I'm not saying that it's a bad idea, and I think it depends on how we go about doing it. That was one of the things that we didn't include within the proposal, because over my many years of experience, people oftentimes don't really use it. But that's not to say that we couldn't incorporate it and track the usage. And if we did need to eliminate it, we could definitely do that.
I had a comment. So if you were to add the itinerary builder, that brings you $3,600 over budget. And I hate going over budget. And so I'm negotiable with going $1,100 over budget. But you take it up to $3,600, I don't think you're going to get my vote.
Okay. I appreciate that honesty. I have another one on open table reservations. Do we know if we have any restaurants that do open table like that?
Two.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. That was a question I had. Because I was thinking, I use it when I go places, but we're not there yet here, so that doesn't make sense. And then TripAdvisor, ratings and reviews. To me, that's a benefit to the hoteliers to have their reviews, but that, to me, I think it's a good thing. But any thoughts on that?
I'm asking
staff. I'm sorry, I can't.
Oh, no. Are you asking staff or the board?
I'm asking our dot. Asking the dot.
I have mixed feelings on the reviews, for the certain reason that people who are going to look at TripAdvisor and be influenced by TripAdvisor are going to go on TripAdvisor.com. They're not going to specifically look at it on the morrobay.org website, and I've actually seen where it can actually be it can have an adverse effect, because it pulls up one of the latest reviews, and if a hotel has a bad review or if a restaurant has a bad review, it could be somebody who it might not be an actual valid review of that. And a lot of destinations have gone away from doing reviews on their website, unless that you are a major metropolitan area where there's so many activities and there's so many options, where sometimes people want to know what the reviews are coming in at for, you know, ABC Restaurant, or, you know, especially when there's a lot of options in front of them. With Morro Bay, I could see where it could be a huge benefit, but I could also see where it could not be such a huge benefit to actually have it on as a module.
That's why I asked. Wanted to hear your thoughts. I'm mixed both ways. The one thing I don't like about TripAdvisor is once you see the little owl there, you know, the little TripAdvisor owl, their logo, once you click on it, it usually pulls you out and pulls you to their site where third-party booking agents basically, you know, have closed in on the market, and so makes it really tough for hoteliers. But I just wasn't sure on how you feel about that on our destination site, so I have an answer on that. Okay. And those were my questions. And then, I did have another question. In terms of design and functionality, will you be putting together a team of folks, like a task force, to a task force to work with you, a team from like some restaurants, or I don't know whether it's the chamber or some folks from the board and from some events to look at how those parts of the sites look and function as it develops further?
It wasn't really in the plan. Staff was actually going to be directing that. We have identified some websites that we love the functionality of. There's a Michigan site. It's called gogreat.com, and I would highly recommend for the board to take a look at gogreat.com, gogreat.com. It has some really great functionality. I think when it comes to, if you start bringing in a lot of outside, that will slow down the process quite a bit, and everybody is going to have their separate opinions, and I think this can be a very much of a staff-directed, but we do want to incorporate, you know, board. We'll keep you guys abreast of what's going on. We want to stay within the guidelines, you know, of what we're our look and feel and what we're trying to accomplish, again, and getting people to stay longer and spend more money. So I think we're not looking at doing a lot of profiles specifically on the website. We want to make sure that when people are getting to the information that they need, it's enough information for them to make a purchase decision. I think I made this mistake in my past. We did profile pages for all of our hotels, all of our attractions, all of the restaurants, and when you're talking about thousands of profile pages that you have to maintain, it has to be high impact, low maintenance. We have to also look at the amount of time that people actually spend on a website. We want to definitely inspire, and we'll have a part of the website that will actually inspire people on what they can do while they're here in Morro Bay. But then we have the other component to people who are looking for something very specific, and we want to make sure that there's a dynamic search functionality on the website, that it's not pulling data that's not really wanted or warranted, like our current website is.
I'm sorry, those were my questions.
I have a couple. Okay, so, and I'm sorry, I stepped out for a second. So this is, we are going to be, it will be our website, we will maintain it, it is, we own it, we're in charge of it. Okay, love that. Second, I have a couple of questions. Content scraping and data transfer, if we go back to that solution page quotation, we're not doing that, content scraping and data transfer. What specifically is that? Is that the Jackrabbit link? Because they scrape.
No. What that actually is they would actually pull the information from our current website. We're going to be pulling the information out of the website. Because Michelle and the rest of the board, that we've gone through the visitor guide production, most, I would say 95%, would you say 95% of the information we currently have in spreadsheets, that is going to be information that they'll be able to import into the new site versus them trying to pull it out of the WordPress site and putting it in. There's a lot of really old information that's in the archives and within the website that we don't want to pull over. We want to make sure that we have the most updated. But they can. That's a way in how they can take that time frame down that if you have a website that's up to date and it's database, but they would actually have to pull information from a lot of the different components of the website, and we just, I didn't feel like that was the best way to bring that and migrate that information over.
No, and I think you're right. I think it's a way to kind of clean house a little. Yeah. So I just wanted to when I see content, when I think scraping, I think hotel scraping, inventory scraping. So I just wanted clarification.
Right.
The other thing is, if you go down, it says hotel booking, which we did opt in. It's the $1,500.
Correct.
So is that then the
That's Jackrabbit, okay. But there's also they can bring. There's actually three different solutions that they have for hotel booking, which, because of the time frame, I definitely want to incorporate Jackrabbit, because most of the properties in Morro Bay are also have signed on to have Jackrabbit, but they aren't the only game in town, and so I definitely want to consult with Moby Manage, because there's two other solutions that we could bring to the table,
okay,
which will give us a negotiating tool in the future. Not to say that I dislike Jackrabbit, but the dollar amount that we're paying to Jackrabbit every month and every year, we pay $1,200 to have Jackrabbit on our website. And again, not that I dislike the functionality, but if there are other options to where we can have a negotiating tool, I really would like to see us try to drop that dollar amount per month and per year down.
And then the last question I had was this coupons, discounts. That's for us to be allowed do coupons and discounts through the website?
Yes. So when we're looking at different specials, we would use that coupon and discount module. But also within that gives us the option, or gives the business community the option, to be able to have a login and password for their specific information. We have to explore that a little bit more with Moby Manage and how we're going to do that. Because it can be done very, very well, and it can also be done very poorly. And you have to have a program actually established on what people are going to be able to change and upload, and does it go into a holding pattern until we review it and we approve, and then it goes live.
Yeah, because you don't want someone to be able to go up and put something random.
Right.
And
I am kind of a control freak. I mean, we do want, you know, businesses to be able to update their information, but I think it's really going to depend on what information are they going to be able to update. But
right.
Jasmine brought up a great point when we were talking to some of the web companies to say, why have hotels do something twice? If they're submitting information for a hotel special, why not have them just, you know, put that information into a form where we look at it, we approve it, and then it goes live.
Right.
And it will save a little bit on staff time, too.
Okay. And then this is a 2-year contract with them. I know.
It is a 1-year contract.
Oh. It says it in two locations, 24 months.
Oh, okay.
So.
For the support and maintenance, it's actually for 2 years.
Okay.
So just this, and I can clarify that with them, so.
Yeah, it says it in two different locations.
Okay.
I noticed the 2-year, which. You know, I'm not going to say I'm against a 2-year. I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention. This is a 2-year. And my question would be, I always like to know, is there an opt-out clause? You know, say you go in, you get in, and you all of a sudden in 30, 60 days realize this is not what I thought it was.
Right.
What's the opt-out on that? Because it is a lot of money. And as Jonas said, we've spent a lot of money. But a website needs to always be maintained and needs to always be looked at. So I think it's...
Right.
And then my last question, these things that we opt out on, I would assume... But for clarification, that you can add them in at any time?
Yes, and that's actually where we can expand the website in the future, and it won't have the complications of rebuilding the whole site. So if there are modules that we want to add on into the future, or things that they're going to be, you know, creating or developing in the future, that's the one thing that I really like about working with this company, is that you'll be able to add it on.
I think I'm good with everything as presented. I wouldn't want to add anything additional. Again, we're already a little over budget, so I'm pretty comfortable with what I see on here. I don't think there's anything I would add or delete necessarily, so I'm comfortable with this proposal.
I have one question. By adding the support and maintenance and data syndication, what, $1,100 over? What if you go to these guys and say, hey, our budget's, is it $30,000? Would you budget? I doubt they're going to walk away from the table. So, I mean, just an idea.
Probably not. And I usually, but I wanted to present to you
right.
guys first, and I
so
can go back and just say,
tool.
You know, the board wants it to be at $30,000. Even.
Okay.
So I think you're
great.
Saying.
I mean, I like what they're offering.
Yeah.
I'm more than willing to wheel and deal. And plus, we're also recommending there's some other organizations that we're involved with that are going to be going through website process. And so I've also told them that I'm recommending to have them be put on the list. So that makes it very appealing.
Okay, so I think I'm hearing a consensus on the additional 1,100, but I would like to make that a formal vote because, you know, of the budget. I hear consensus from the board that we'd like you to ask them to sharpen their pencil and move forward that way first, obviously, before spending the 1,100.
Done.
Okay. So do we have someone who would make someone jump in move that we approve the additional $1,100 for website and the contract as stated? Yeah.
Would I have to do that because you guys actually approved $30,000 for the website budget, and if I have to come back and they can't for the additional funds?
Well, my thing
maybe
is
come
is
back
I
to the board if I need to come back and say for the
but
additional
funds. I don't
want
to hold him up. I mean,
I don't
if it's $1,100,
I
don't want him to have to come back for approval for $1,100 if they're not going to budge. I'm sure they will, but I don't. I'd like to see this move forward because I think June, it's the perfect time to be doing the website is when we are.
Love to see it launch for the summer.
We wouldn't really like be on a holding pattern if for some reason the 1100 is the sticking point, because then we would have to look at one of the modules to say maybe we would drop one of those off.
Do we want to give him which one we would drop off now and then just call it done?
I don't want to micromanage it.
I don't either. And that's the thing. I think we should just let him do what he needs to do. And
I think they'll work with us.
Okay, so suggestion from us is for you, this is just a suggestion, Jack's suggestion to go back and have them, you know, negotiate, sharpen the pencil, whatever the term is, negotiate with them to absorb the additional 1,100, and if not, you know, move forward with your best laid out plan.
Okay.
Okay.
Done.
All right.
And I'd figure out that opt out too, because 2 years, I mean, just throw
it's
it in
2 years in there. Clearly states right in there. Yeah.
Okay. Try to get that to a year or something.
Let's see. Well, it's going to take a year to make sure we like the site. You know how it goes. Okay, so, and where are we on here? So you just hit the new website.
Yep. So I will continue if that's all right.
Yep.
So I'm going to go on the executive director's report. This does most of it carries over in both February and March because we didn't have that covered. There's actually no motion, Jasmine, that's required on that. So just to give you a little bit of a breakdown, this is actually a conglomerate of both February and March. The numbers, you know, number of leads gone out, 3 advertising opportunities. You can see the visitor center numbers, et cetera. You guys got the breakdown of that. I'm going to just move ahead. You know, can't do it. We're not doing it alone. You know, I have great staff, you know, staff are really working diligently in making sure that everything that I throw at them, and trust me, I throw a lot at them, that they're working away and helping and making sure that Morro Bay is being supported and promoted, etc. So I'm not going to go through the list for Jasmine because you've received that information. Sharon, too, again, working very, very hard. As far as sales, you know, a lot of this is actually repetitive from prior, but I did want to highlight that with tour operators, we're partnering with a number of different destinations in California on some itineraries that appeal to a broader audience. We do have Summit to the Sea itinerary. I did steal that title from an event that was going to be happening here in Morro Bay. We're working with Yosemite on doing an itinerary where they fly into San Francisco, they go over to Yosemite, stay two nights, come to Morro Bay, stay two nights, and then they circle back going and they fly out of San Francisco. We're also doing a partnership with Celebrating the California Bays. This includes San Francisco, Monterey, Morro Bay, Santa Barbara, and then L.A. So the itinerary starts in San Fran and it ends in L.A. A lot of companies, especially tour companies, they're not familiar with Morro Bay, so we have to really start out with the gateways in California. We're going to be using these itineraries to be able to market and promote Morro Bay. When we go to IPW, which is International Powwow, we're going to be working with a lot of international media, travel agents, and also tour operators. And again, most of those individuals have no clue where Morro Bay is. So by promoting these itineraries, it actually puts us on the map. Obviously, we're working wedding market. It has slowed down a little bit, but we are looking at doing some things. We just had a recent meeting. Promotional meeting where there's some businesses that want to put together some wedding packages, and so we're going to be with our new website hopefully being able to promote those wedding packages and also working with some of the other vendors such as Beach Butlers and Toes in the Sand. For marketing, I did want to highlight some things. You guys received the reports from Verdin. I do want to start out with the advertising metrics. It's the Morro Bay Performance Report, March 2015. Just want to highlight some things here. We're TripAdvisor. We are 3.5% higher than we were last year. Insights, too, when it comes to Facebook, 90% of the ads were engaged with a smartphone. This is really why we're putting the website at the forefront of our projects, because we currently have a separate mobile site from the desktop site, and we actually have to keep both of them updated. They have two different backends, and so we definitely want to try to bring some efficiency to that. And what we're finding is that there's a lot more people who are using their mobile phones and mobile devices to find us on the web. And unfortunately, our mobile site does not really lend to being the best information source. When you're looking at the Google AdWords, just wanted to highlight two Morro Bay events and things to do in Morro Bay were the top searches. I think this really goes back to your decision on supporting the Harbor Festival. You know, events are the second most visited page on morrobay.org, both the mobile as well as the desktop site, after the homepage. So we definitely want to make sure that we are promoting events and making sure that we're moving the needle and getting people to stay longer and spend more money. Sunset Digital was canceled the second week in March and due to poor performance. As we stated in the stakeholder meeting, we are funneling those dollars to go back to, and I know, Jack, you're not a fan of when people say the hobbyist group, but it's really for those individuals that are coming to Morro Bay for those recreational activities such as, you know, biking and a lot of the water sports. The enthusiast network was actually something that I was able to find, and through my experience in Minneapolis, we had a lot of our constituents that really focused in on a lot of the recreation, the sports recreation. They were using that enthusiast network to be able to market and promote their destination. So we're funneling those dollars and moving them from Sunset over to that network. Moving on, I want to have you guys look at the Morro Bay, the Verdin at www.morrobay.org, that report. Sessions were up 33% from the previous month, which is great. The organic traffic is up 35%. MorroBay.org, the mobile site, is referring the most traffic this last month, which is great. We're really trying to engage people in that whole social media and that digital world. But again, we kind of have that, not to say that we want to hurry through the website, but we definitely want to get the new website that will be responsive and on all platforms up and running, so that way we can have a better conversion and lower the bounce rate. As you can see, lodging pages performance as landing pages, lodging views were up 54%. Vacation rentals up 183%. That's a great indicator that we might need to really be looking at what the inventory here in Morro Bay in the future. Might be some potential room for growth for other hotels. The hotels motels page specifically was down 36%. We are working on trying to increase that. We didn't have a lot of lodging specials that have come in from our lodging community, and that's something that we really try to, you know, bring attention to, but currently we are very low on the number of lodging specials on the morrobay.org website. The hotel special and deals page, again, it was down 55%. When we don't have those specials, people aren't returning. So I think currently, Jasmine, we have about five hotel specials on the morrobay.org website. But we strongly encourage, it doesn't have to be a special or package. It can just be a special discount. It can be an offer or whatever that is. But we definitely want to see more coming from the lodging community. So,
question.
Yes.
Question on that. So I looked at the numbers, and then I pulled the whole report, and I looked through the whole report with glasses on. And it's my and then I pulled the website up. So then I started fooling around with the website so I could, you know,
get a visual.
Yeah, get a visual and try and piece everything together, right? And so one of the questions I have is, so you go to lodging, and then you click lodging, and then it says hotels, motels, vacation rentals, bed and breakfast, hotels, specials and deals are always over on the side. You have to actually click on one of those to get the results for these pages.
Correct.
So...
The
question that I have goes to the plus 183% versus a negative 36% and a plus 148 on bed and breakfast and a negative 55 on specials and deals. They can't see any specials and deals. They only see the specials and deals list. So to me, as a consumer, because like I said, I've been booking travel this past week, as a consumer... You actually have to go in and click on the specials and deals with what is it, what do we attribute the more compelling click to at a negative in hotel, motel, and an uptake in vacation rental and bed and breakfast? There's no difference in the bar, meaning the bars look the same when you pull the page up if you go on morrobay.org. Have we done any, they can't tell that we have one vacation rental or 500 vacation rentals. They can't
right.
tell if we have one special or 500 specials. What's going on? That's what I'm asking.
When you go to morrobay.org and you go to that main lodging page, when you're seeing lodging view, that's that page. So when you're seeing the hotel, motel, the RV, and the vacation rental, when that's the menu option, that's that first line that you're looking at. That's when you're seeing lodging view, and that's up 54%. So when you're going to that main page and you have, you know, the option of clicking down to the hotel motel page, the bed and breakfast page, the lodging view is that main page. So we're up as far as that. Vacation rentals, when you click on the vacation rental link, that brings you to the vacation rental landing page. So that's what's actually up right now.
Thank you, AGP. It makes sense that the lodging overall is up based on the figures for vacation rentals and bed and breakfast. They held it up
mm-hmm.
with the negatives in hotels and specials.
Right.
What I'm asking is, Verdin doing any analysis as to why people are not clicking through to hotels, what's going on? So, for example... Was the button down? Was the bar down? Was there any time? Because a lot of times what we've seen is, you know, if we're managing the site and sometimes we don't go on it for 2 or 3 days and you can't click through, and I have to be honest with you, I don't go on morrobay.org every day to check through it. I go on once a week to check through, make sure nothing's wrong with it. It's just good housekeeping
right.
for my business and also for the bid. To make sure all the hotels and stuff are there. So, you know, I'm part of that number that's in there, right? But you know, I don't know if they've done any research to see if that's A, an accurate number, and B, why that's occurring, because we don't typically have that coming into a shoulder season with spring break.
Right. I would have to look a little bit closer, Joan, on the referrals, because it is actually included in the report,
right,
on where those referrals are coming from.
Right.
So is it an organically are they landing on that page because they're looking for vacation rentals? You know, obviously some of those referrals will actually come from the main lodging page, and it will funnel down. Mm-hmm. So I would have to do a little bit more exploration on that to be able to answer that question.
I'm not necessarily looking to say, oh my gosh, you know, they're at 183, we're at 36, oh my gosh. I'm looking more at, okay, so we see that we've had a decline.
Right.
How do we solve that?
And why?
What are the factors in why?
Mm-hmm.
And then once we know the why, now we can move forward to get a solution and get those figures back up, because you know those are the payers into the assessment. I want to make sure
right.
we're representing them and moving the needle for them. That's all I'm saying.
It looks like it's coming from a number of different referrals. Facebook, TripAdvisor, mm-hmm. Navr, Pinterest, Yelp, Blogger, LinkedIn, Twitter, Google. I will actually send out a report, or have Verdin send out a more detailed report on that. But great question. Yeah. So we had a significant increase again when it comes to the camping and RV pages as well. You know, a lot of people do come to Morro Bay and they are interested in camping. So that is something that to look at. If you look at the second page, the geolocation trends to watch, the Southwest region, as you know from the stakeholder meeting, that we are going to be reaching out to Arizona and Texas and Nevada. And I was glad that we saw a 38% overall increase in those three states. And so we know that we're definitely on the mark as far as that. The last report that they have included was the mobile website, and it's m.morrobay.org. Overall traffic of the site is up 72%. Organic traffic is up 97%, which is great. Phoenix is showing a significant jump from 12 to 208%, it's a 1,633% increase. So it goes to show that we, you know, our goal and focus on reaching out to the Phoenix market this year is definitely warranted. I was really surprised to see Honolulu. We saw an 876% increase from 18 to 174 sessions. Might have to look at getting our grass skirts on and reaching out to that market. But Houston, again, we saw a 1,222% increase in sessions. It sounds like a lot, but it went from 9 to 119. So we know that the Texas market, which was in what I covered in the stakeholder meeting, we are going to be reaching out to the Texas market. So it clearly shows that we're moving in the right direction on that. So moving on with the report, this kind of goes through some of the media and public relations. I'm not going to go through, but I did want to explain to the board and to the listening audience, when it states that it's hosted, that is a media person that we specifically hosted, paid to be here in Morro Bay. And when we say paid, we pay for the overnight lodging, we pay for the restaurants. We do get some comps from the attractions, but typically we are paying for them to be hosted here. When you see release, that is a release that was created by our PR agency, was sent out, and was picked up. So as you can see, we had a couple of releases that were sent out, and they were picked up by the media. Outreach and communications, I'm not going to go specifically through this. We're always trying to increase the open rate. Currently, we're seeing that 22% open rate. Website, we did a spring break specials. Again, thanks to staff for helping organize some of that, but we got that onto the website. Calendar of events is always on there, lodging specials. Visit California, I'm in a lot of conversations with Visit California. Morro Bay was not listed at all on the website, and we are working with their team to make sure that we are listed and things are coming directly to the morrobay.org website. We're also trying to get They are doing different themes and trying to inspire travel to California. Whale watching is one of their biggest ones. We've had a really successful year in Morro Bay for whale watching, and I'm trying to get some of our companies in Morro Bay to get on that map under whale watching. So more, stay tuned on that one. Hearst Castle, I just actually received a phone call from the representative from Hearst Castle. The company out of Arizona, they're still in conversations to see how and what at what cost will lodging, additional lodging onto the HearstCastle.org website will be. It is in conversation. I will tell you, it's moving slowly, and I feel like it's at a glacial pace, but there are conversations actually happening with that. It sounds like there won't be a specific cost for to have the listing be on the website. Where the cost comes into play is the staff that is hired to do the website for Hearst Castle. That's where the cost comes into play. So the dollar amount that the board budgeted aside will probably be a lot less than what we anticipated, which is great. Partnerships, Jasmine is looking at, is trying to set up another appointment with the Cuesta College Athletics. We definitely want to get that put into place yet this fiscal year. Cal Poly, we're always looking at ways and how we can partner with them. Obviously, Morro Bay businesses, you saw that through the Adventure Pass. We're always looking at different promotions. We just had a promotions meeting that was instituted and inspired by some of the businesses within Marina Square. There, we are looking at partnering with them and helping facilitate a promotion called Christmas in July, and that was through Sweet One Gallery and Hooray for Hollywood. They definitely want to see all of the business community in Morro Bay to participate, so we're going to be helping facilitate, get that information out. We're going to be, you know, having a special web page on morrobay.org for Christmas in July. So obviously area events for 2015, we're continually updating the website. You know, we share that with the city. We send that out to lodging properties through our consumer blast. And then we also have the billboard program. We have covered the event grants task force, so I'm not going to go over that. This is just the recap. The second grant cycle has begun. The application is out there. Closing date is in May, and it's actually Friday, it's either May 8th or 9th. I don't have a calendar in front of me. We do have a few individuals that are interested in applying for the remainder of the funds. $5,000 have actually been taken out of those funds for the 4th of July celebration. This was the direction from our city manager and city council, and they are allowed, since it is city funds and we are facilitating it on behalf of the city, that they have requested $5,000 to go out of those funds to help facilitate a 4th of July family-friendly event, which I'm happy that the city is going to help facilitate. It will actually go through the recreation department. This year, there won't be any fireworks. Thank you, Joan. Won't be fireworks, but recreation is going to be help facilitate the celebration this year. But they're hoping that they'll be able to gather a group together and do a handoff for 2016. Moving on, just have a schedule of different meetings here that has happened in the month of March. As you can see, my calendar runneth over. I'm not going to go through all of the different meetings that we've gone through, but really importantly, that's going to be happening now with the executive director reports. I do want to give the board updates on what's happening on the short-term goals. Obviously, we want to increase midweek business and overall occupancy. That's going to be an ongoing. We are doing an addition of a part-time salesperson. Recruitment is actually happening now. Jasmine and I have gone through some phone interviews. We are going to be extending the deadline on the for applications and resumes. That was actually coming up this Friday. We do need a few more applicants. We are planning on expanding our reach into the Western Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus. I'm really interested in trying to find somebody who is a little bit more seasoned. Currently, we've had some good candidates come in, that have sales experience, but it's more advertising than it is group sales. And so I'm hoping that we can get a few more resumes to come in for that. We want to expand into niche markets. This Saturday, I will be, actually tomorrow, I'm going to be heading to West Hollywood. We are partnering with a few other destinations through the Central Coast Tourism Council. We will be attending the International Gay and Lesbian Travel Association Consumer Show in West Hollywood. We have some. We have a special brochure that we designed for that market. You know, it is something that's very tongue in cheek. We're trying to seduce them to come here to Morro Bay, needless to say. But we'll continue working on expanding those markets. Lifestyle research. You know, who's our current audience? There's an opportunity for us to partner with the county on this project, so this is actually being tabled at this point in time. Visit San Luis Obispo County is planning on doing some research, as well as the county themselves. So we definitely want to look at how we can partner and to leverage those dollars. Automate the lead system and promotion process. There are tools, again, that you guys saw within the proposal for the website that we're going to be able to alleviate some of these items, so I'm glad that we're moving forward on that. Maximize our business and industry partnerships. I applied to be on the marketing committee for the new countywide tourism marketing district. Obviously, that will not be decided upon until after they have their board put together for the TMD, and probably will not happen until after they have their final hearing. But had a great, I attended the Central Coast Tourism Council planning retreat. Phenomenal group of people. There are so many opportunities for us to partner with other destinations along the Central Coast here in California. One example is the upcoming, the IGLTA consumer show that's happening on Saturday. We're also partnering with Central Coast Tourism Council and IPW, which helped drastically reduce the amount of investment that we had to do for that specific show. We're saving about $2,000 on that. And again, there's other opportunities that are going to be coming down the pipeline for that. So very exciting stuff. Updates, again, on the short-term goals. There's a few pages here. Increase alternative revenue streams. We still need to bill for the advertising sales with some of the other partners. We did a partnership with the Morro Bay Golf Course on the Visit San Luis Obispo County Visitor Guide. They helped offset the half of the cost. So instead of $6,500, they paid half the cost on that. And then obviously with the Morro Bay Adventure Pass, there will be a revenue stream coming in for that. The new experiential website, we talked a little bit about that through some of the process with Moby Manage. Definitely the selected vendor is going to help us with that. We have some website examples that will, again, we want to employ some of those things to be able to inspire people to come to Morro Bay, stay longer, and spend more money. Simplify the purchasing process. Again, we'll be able to do some of this through the website process. But for the Morro Bay Adventure Pass, we are looking at Eventbrite to be able to sell those passes and, again, to be able to use that technology. So to make it easier for people to buy with ease. Again, short-term goals continued. The diversification of media outreach to benefit all partners. I am Marianne with Mental Marketing, and I are going to be meeting within the next couple weeks. We want to do some things that are a little bit different and not just the same run-of-the-mill type of itineraries each and every time that media come into place. We want to celebrate the commercial fishing. We definitely want to look at trying to expand and get more visibility to that. And a lot of the other unique things that are here in Morro Bay. So there's the list just kind of goes on and on for that. Morro Bay image building, again, that's definitely in process. The expansion of the photo and video library. I'm hoping to be able to secure a meeting with both the city and the Chamber of Commerce about doing a promotional video together. It's not going to be the same promotional video for all three entities, but what we're looking at doing is collecting video content, producing video content, and actually having video content be available that is going to fit the audiences of those three entities. the city of Morro Bay has some definite goals and objectives to try to bring in new business and industry here to Morro Bay. They also want to bring maybe a different type of resident. I don't know on the resident standpoint, but they could actually have video content to be able to use to be able to reach out to those different audiences. The Chamber of Commerce also, they have different goals and objectives. Would they be looking at using the video to bring in new members, you know, bring in additional businesses, etc., that's going to help grow their organization? And obviously for us, we're trying to attract the visitor and group markets, and so we definitely want to have a promotional video that's going to lend for that, but then also extend for us to be able to have Visit California use that video content, for the county to use that video content, as well as Central Coast Tourism Council, and even expanding out to Discover America, which that is on my radar for the future, for us to actually have a profile page with the Discover America page. And video content is huge for that. Education and training, providing opportunities for staff and stakeholders. We do need to start talking about this, and I would highly recommend that we talk as you guys talk as a board, we talk as staff to figure out how to start those conversations with the business community and how we can become China ready. We do have some opportunities and how we can bring in Visit California to help, you know, start that process, but we also have some local organizations that can also help us with that too. Upcoming shows and projects, went through the IGLTA visitor guide production. We are hoping to finalize and finish that. I know it's been on our agenda. We had a few holdups with our design. We also had a few holdups with some of the ads coming in as well. Very excited about the interviews for both the sales manager and the website coordinator. We're going to continue to do a recruitment for that. The Morro Bay Kite Festival Carnival is a go. We're so excited about that. Just to give the board a little bit of a breakdown on that, we are looking at charging ticket costs that will be staff. Staff will actually help maintain and selling tickets to help at the Kite Festival. Ticket costs will be $3 per ride or $15 for an unlimited ride wristband per day. We estimate that revenue from ticket sales will come in around $15,000. The Bureau will actually take $10,000 off the top to put back into the Carnival Fund, and then we're looking at actually having the remainder to go to Kite Festival that will be seed money for them for this next year. So that way they will have dollars to be able to help market and promote. So that's kind of the goal and objective for us. Carnivals are very expensive. We found out through our, thank goodness for Jasmine, because she was very tenacious and very... She found a lot of companies. We had some pretty spectacular companies that we connected with. There were three companies that I would definitely go back, and I would do business with them in a heartbeat. We do need to set some meetings, and I know Jasmine is helping set that up. We want to reach out to some organizations that have festivals in the wintertime, which I can't state right now because we haven't been able to connect with them on doing a winter carnival in either November or December. So we're hoping that we'll be able to take some of that seed money to be able to bring that carnival, and then also have seed money for next year. So that way Kite Festival will still have, you know, the dollar amount that they'll be able to replicate and have in the carnival. Morro Bay Adventure Pass, the National Travel and Tourism Week promotion, talked about that May 2nd through the 10th. New website production, and then I have IPW May 30th through June 4th. Any questions? Lots going on.
Great job. I'll pipe in. Great job, guys. You guys have been working hard.
Yeah, and it's not going to slow down either.
Yeah. Very impressive. Thank you.
Jack?
I'm just so stoked on the carnival.
Are you going to be first in line, Jack?
Probably right behind Joan.
Okay.
Well, guess what, Jack? You're going to be first in line. I'm out of town. I'm so bummed. I can't even... It's very difficult for me to even say that without bringing tears to my eyes. But I'm thrilled about the entire thing. I know we're focused right this second on the carnival, but I got to say how far we've come. You guys, I know you're new to the board, you're the newbies. You have no clue how wonderful it is to have someone sit here and go through that, and you're like, whoa, our team is doing that detailed work for us. That's like, oh, it's fabulous. I don't have a word, really, that I can pull out of my... I am just so thrilled. So, and then, you know, we have a team that we can ask questions to, like, what's going on with this or what's going on with that, and they come back with answers, and it's just great. So thank you very much. Michelle?
Yeah, I just will point out it was a year ago that we brought Brent in. So it's amazing just to see where the TBID has came. You know, for several years it was just a volunteer board trying to move a lot of things through, and to see from the TBID to the Tourism Bureau to the nonprofit to a year in with Brent, and you're just done an amazing job. So it's just great.
And we're up 4%, February numbers up 4% in occupancy and a little over 16% in revenue over last year. That says a lot about what everybody is doing collectively together. It is, you know, we are trying to initiate things within the Bureau, but honestly, we couldn't do it without the participation of the lodging community, the business community, city council, city staff. We're all doing it together, and all of the staff. I mean, honestly, we are not successful if we think that we're doing it alone, because we're doing it as a collective.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but in the grade school, they're like, oh, you're doing a good job. Is everybody ready? Clap, clap, clap. The fireworks, the Morro Bay fireworks, because we're not having fireworks this year, so that's our fireworks. But that's okay. We're trying something new, and new is good. We're on a theme of new change for tourism this year, and I love it. So thank you for all the work. I think you could have just shown your schedule from March, and that probably would have been enough for us. And we will be moving on to now, where are we? Declaration of future agenda items. We just need to make sure that we post up for the Harbor Festival report to come back to us.
Yes. And we've had a request from the city, from Susan Slayton, who is with the city, to assure that we have the board approve of the continuance at the 3%. So we do need to have that at the next...
At the May meeting.
At the May meeting, correct.
Okay. That needs to be the TBID board. So we're going
to have
a brief
TBID
meeting ahead of time.
Correct.
So just prepare yourselves for the double agenda. It's not going to lengthen anything. It's one vote. It's a consent agenda item. Okay.
I'd like to see the TOT report on a monthly basis as a like a line item.
I was going to cover it in board announcements, but he just hit it.
Yeah. I just think it'd be nice if it was actually just an agenda item every month to just... It's a, you know, one-liner. We can just update what it is. We're missing Mr. Myers, who used to do those in-depth reports. So I know it won't be as in-depth, but I just think it's important if it's actually on our agenda, then we don't forget it, because I do think it's a huge, it's what we do and why we're here. And then the other thing I noticed in our minutes, and I just want to follow up on it, so I don't know if it's a declaration of future agenda. We had recommended for the city to, through their economic development program, to just kind of look into the vacation rentals. Oh, okay, never mind. She's going to tell me an announcement, so I'll hold tight and be patient. Those were the only two things I had.
Going back to Susan Slayton's request, in terms of future agenda items, that needs to be on our master calendar, because that should be happening probably in April every year, or at the half-year TBID meeting. So
I will add that.
Yep, thank you. Sorry, I just wanted to clarify that. Any other future agenda items, gentlemen? No?
I have a few.
Okay.
Couple. One of the things, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in next meeting, but I would like to see us develop potentially a marketing program for the lodging community to be able to apply for dollars to use in the marketing endeavors that they are individually doing. Yeah. I did this in Minneapolis. It was successful, and I'm hoping that we can maybe look at that for this next fiscal year. Also, too, I would love to see us do some sort of program, and I wanted to get the board maybe green light to be able to reach out to the Community Foundation to find out, can we actually develop a scholarship fund if we have overage at the end of the year to be able to funnel that, so people who actually own and operate hotels, motels, and their children would have the ability to apply for scholarships for college.
Oh.
And for training, you know, professional training, et cetera.
So the Morro Bay Community Foundation is specifically for youth sports through the Recreation and Parks Department. There is another organization that I can connect you with that you can get information on that and put together a proposal to the board if you'd like me to do that. We can sit and chat about that.
I just wanted to get, if the board... if
wanted to hear about something
like
that.
If we wanted to move forward with that, you know, discussions, because I really feel like training and education is something that hotels, motels that are paying into the assessment, and Michelle and I have had this conversation
mm-hmm.
already,
yeah.
think about how much time and dedication a lot of hotel, you know, owner-operators have to put into their property. And sometimes the time that they're taking away from their families,
mm-hmm.
and why not have a scholarship for kids, for their children, and employers, you know, the employees' children to be able to apply for, if you have a long-term employee, for college education,
sure.
or if owners, operators, or managers, or whatever, want to actually have some professional training, and they don't have it in their budget, they're applying dollars into the assessment fund, and why not actually dedicate a piece of that for education and training?
Okay, we can
to be able to support that.
Do I have a couple of folks who would be willing to agendize that? Okay, yep, we can agendize that. Okay. Any others, Brent? Okay. Okay. So, great. So we have quite a list there. We have a handy list that we can divide up over the next couple of months. Under board announcements, I did want to let the board know that Brent and I were tasked with meeting with the city, and we did so this past week. We met with Dave Buckingham. It was a great meeting, and we discussed all the things on the list. We provided Mr. Buckingham with a copy of the suggested ordinance changes to vacation rentals that the board had made. He had some comments back. There was, you know, a nice conversation over it. And there were some things that he wanted to see a little bit more detail in that our staff is going to provide back to him. And he will be presenting it in the very near future. It needs to be agendized by City Council, so I guess the mayor is in charge of the agenda. So when, you know, when that fits into what the city's schedule is, then it'll go forward to them for their conversations. So we did have a nice conversation about that. We did discuss budget with him, as we were tasked to do. I showed him our budget, let him know where we thought our forecast would be. Our meeting fell very coincidentally, directly after they had a 10-year budget forecast type thing, that workshop that the City Council was doing. So it fit right in line with what they had already discussed, and there was some information that we clarified coming from, you know, questions that they had that we were able to clarify in that meeting, so that worked really well. The timing of that worked really well. And so, you know, I think it was a healthy meeting. I'm sorry? Yes, and we also discussed visitor center funding, and, you know, once again, we were asked by the city if the city does not, you know, Dave is new to the area, so he came. What I like about him is he's a pretty straight shooter. He shot straight out from the hip and said, "What happens if the city doesn't fund the visitor center?" And, you know, we put the shield back and said, "Then the visitor center goes away." I mean, it was pretty clear. It was, you know, we had that conversation, and they'd love to see the visitor center be self-funding, and I think they're looking at some clever ideas too. So we're going to work in partnership with them. We are moving to the point, as you know, where we have our leases up at the visitor center, and the owner wants to see a lease, a 3-year lease. And so I asked Brent, Dave and I are having Brent go back and see if the owner is willing to do a one-year lease. And if it's a three-year lease, if we can close in on the buyout, is it 3 months or something like that, so that we can set up our contract with the city to reflect that, that the responsibility is, you know, if they decide not to fund, the responsibility would be, you know, a bottom line item on that contract that would say buyout of the visitor center lease and, you know, any other equipment leases that are down there. So we'll see how that goes as we move forward. I just wanted to report that back to you under board announcements. And any other board announcements other than emergency vehicle car show, right, coming up?
Citywide sale this weekend.
Yep.
Emergency car show next week, the following weekend. Kite Festival, the 25th and 26th, with a carnival.
With the carnival?
And Jack will be Jack? Second in line.
First in line. So those are board announcements, unless anyone has anything else. Jack?
Real quick, all of you will see a copy of something called Loud Sourcing.
Yes, I was wondering.
Brent made copies of that. It's an article I read in the current issue of Outside Magazine. And it's just a great article about how TripAdvisor is affecting travel and lodging. It's really an informative article.
What happened to mine? Okay. I will look it over, Jack.
Okay, and then on a personal note, I don't know if that's okay here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm hoping to bring a new business to Morro Bay's Embarcadero.
Oh, great.
I met with the city about it last week at a great meeting with the planning director. A pedicab business.
A pedicab? Pedal the cab?
Yep.
What do they call it?
Human rickshaw. Bicycle
rickshaw.
Bicycle rickshaw.
A bicycle rickshaw.
So I've already got it. It's at the museum right now.
Yay.
And just going through the red tape. So hope to have it going soon.
Terrific.
Love it. I use those all the time in San Francisco.
I love those things. Okay, great. Well, congratulations on that, Jack. And my big thing is, of course, go Morro Bay Pirates. Lots of sports playing right now. So hit it, girls and guys, over at Morro Bay High. And watch for parents and everyone. Watch for the kids dressed up at prom on Saturday, May 2nd. They'll be all dressed up out in their regalia for the prom night. So go Morro Bay Pirates, and thank you very much. We'll move to adjourn at this point. Yep, need a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We're out of here. Thank you. Thank you very much.